If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Flash Phillips.
Flash Phillips.
W.A.B.A.
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station. Excuse me, Mr. Baxter.
Just keep talking, mama, I like that sound.
Dude, don't do that, dude. Ow, dude, stop that. Dude, ow. Dude, I'm not kidding. Dude, I'm not fooling around. Dude, stop that, dude. Ow, dude, don't do that.
Yeah, Dean, if I could just have you stop talking altogether, that would be great. Okay.
I see. Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
Anything else?
And now.
Let's all keep it funky now.
He's one talented Negro.
Our feature presentation.
I just can't get enough of that goodbye song.
What was with your voice, Bean?
That just rules. I don't know. Look, everyone, most of you that didn't just get into radio when you were younger, you just are much more talented at it than we were. But when you start and you think you sound like you're trying to sound the best you can, but you're a loser. And you don't realize that until you look back and go, wow, why didn't anyone tell me?
That's true. I don't know if I have any more, but I have a tape from like my very first few traffic reports. And my voice was like an octave higher.
Yeah. I think we're going to need you to bring that in.
I think absolutely. Disintegrated by now.
And of course, we have the King of Mexico.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's wintertime? So anyways.
That's his early radio days.
It is wintertime.
Why didn't he go on to more success, by the way? How did he end up on the wrong side of the microphone? That's a dude that should have a show.
Yeah, no kidding.
I listen to Dave every day. Are you kidding me?
I think we tried that. I don't think it worked very well.
We kept having to wake him up.
Remember his podcast?
Oh, yeah.
That was a short-lived experiment, wasn't it?
That was the best.
Well, sure was.
He would say things like, here are my 10 favorite movies. I forget.
It's like you, Kevin.
It was, but at least I would remember like 3 of them. Right, for God's sakes?
Hank Williams Jr., and he's going honky-tonking. Well, why not? It's Saturday. That's what you do on a Saturday night, right?
That's right.
Right?
Early Lisa. Early Lisa.
Honky-tonking.
That is what you do. That's true.
It's awesome. Speaking of Dave, by the way, has anyone seen Dave after his crushing and humiliating defeat of his Los Angeles Clippers last night to the Seattle Supersonics, the worst team in basketball?
Really? No, he's not here yet. Maybe we need to call him and wake him up in a pool of his own vomit.
Yeah, he's got to be. I mean, what have they lost? Like 6 in a row or something, right, Mike? The Clippers?
Yeah, it's not good times for
it's
the
a spiral, man.
This is bringing back memories of like the Clippers at the turn of the century. This is bad. I mean, this is... Yeah. This is real bad.
1900? The Clippers were around?
No, I meant 99, 2000.
Sorry.
But I understand where you're...
The nut that's almost too good to share.
I share my nuts. Sometimes. It's 10:54.
Oh. That is raunchy humor right there.
What does it even mean?
I think she's trying to be sexual innuendo.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you,
okay,
Kevin.
Explain the pink.
Oh, wow.
What?
That's not necessary.
Oh. Yeah. 95, PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Oh,
come on.
God.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, none of us can really say anything, can we?
It does not get any better than that.
It's all humiliating.
Dean, I reject you totally.
But the difference is when we play the wacky, funny, bad Kevin air checks, they're from this week.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
that
true.
Is true.
Well, that's the difference.
That's a pretty good defense, actually. Because we got to go back 25 years for you guys.
However long it was.
It's there somewhere, dude. I know it's there
what
somewhere.
We'd
not have
now?
Gotten rid of it.
Game.
Not
what
bad.
Are we finding now?
K-Fed,
we're looking for K-Fed's audition tape for Kiss FM when he was trying. Remember when he was trying to be a DJ for them?
Oh, yeah.
Can't find that's it. Right. How is everybody?
Sorry.
Lisa, how many plays did you get to see yesterday?
I didn't see any.
Oh!
It's tough this time of year. I wanted to see Juno, too.
You did?
No, I wanted
to. Wanted
it's
to.
Just it's there's too much. I was out doing Christmas shopping and looking for Bean's gift, which has clearly disappeared. I'm just gonna have to draw a picture of it to you and send it to you, Bean. I'm sorry.
That'd probably be as good.
It was well intentioned.
Now hold on a sec. I ordered it. It didn't show up. That's mine. Okay, you can't just steal that.
Well, I'm not. Mine is different. I ordered it. FedEx says they delivered it last Tuesday. It's right. Not there. I live in a condo.
You think someone stole my gift?
I do.
Do we need to start randomly calling other apartments in your complex and asking them if they have it?
I'm going to put up a sign today, the kind that says, hey, look through your packages. Mine disappeared. Maybe it got mixed up with yours. Sort of an amnesty kind of thing. You know, no sure. questions. Just give it to me.
Right.
See what happens.
You're not going to send it back to Mexico?
No.
That's good, though, because Bean did patent the It's in the Mail. I tried the It's in the Mail with Ralph, and I sensed there was no belief. Because
yeah.
I already own it.
Because Bean owns it. But the It came to my house, and someone stole it, was available right up until
right.
now.
Right. That's mine. That's now mine.
That seems like such a slight variation, but I guess it's okay. Although this year, I had a most awesome gift ever for you, but I got outbid at the last second on eBay. This year,
yours.
I brought that one into rotation, too.
That's a good one.
So,
are you saying that's what happened to my gift?
That's a good one.
No, I'm just saying you got to be creative. You got to come up with some good reasons why the gift isn't there.
Because you're going to whack me right back with no gift, aren't you?
Of course.
Because I can't really afford to buy you a second one. I'm sorry. You would have loved it, though.
Well, that's just as good. Thank you.
I will draw you a picture and send you a card.
You would have loved it as even better because now you're rubbing it in.
Someone in my building one day is going to show up in it, and I'm going to be like, damn it. That looks good. That would have been nice on Bean.
And then you'll just keep it. Or whatever. I don't know what it is. Vibrator? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I can tell you what it is because I'm never going to find it. It was a Panthers t-shirt.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. You don't have
Panthers.
One, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. I thought you would enjoy
what,
that very
what
much.
What Panthers?
Well, it's
the
from
Dylan
Friday
Panthers?
Night Lights.
Oh, Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Whole hearts, clear eyes, can't lose?
Exactly. I was so excited to
is
give you that.
Is that their slogan?
That is. That's what they say in the locker room right before they head out onto the field.
Full hearts, clear eyes,
can't lose.
Can't lose, yeah.
And then,
but when they say it, you believe it, man.
Do they lose occasionally?
No.
Yeah, they do.
Then they need to amend that. Sometimes we lose.
They were the Texas State champions last season, but this year it's not going as well for them.
Full hearts, clear eyes, hope we don't lose again. That's what their slogan should be.
Well, that was a very thoughtful gift, Lisa. I appreciate that. I do not have one. I did buy one for Donna last season. She has her Dylan Panther shirt, and she just loves it to death. But I don't have one for me, so that's very kind of
you. Here's what I would suggest.
You're welcome.
Here's what I would suggest. You need to troll the apartment complex or condos or whatever it is and with a stun gun, right? And then just start looking around. You see somebody in a Panthers t-shirt, boom!
Take them
nobody's going to be dumb enough to wear it around there if they stole it. They're going to give it away as a gift to somebody else.
I could go from door to door with a gun and just hold it to everybody's head.
That's a good idea,
until
too,
until someone
actually.
Coughs up my shirt.
That's a good idea.
Unless
Bring it out now!
Bring what out, ma'am?
You know what it is. Go get it now.
Was that the only thing in the package, Lisa?
Yeah.
Or did you order a bunch of stuff that came together and
no.
lost it all?
Oh, see, okay. I bought that from NBC.com. So, yeah, that was the only thing. I never have trouble with packages, ever.
Oh.
Okay, explain the pink.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Hey, Dave.
What's up?
Clippers.
Yeah. Oh,
Dave.
Clippers.
7 in a row, baby. You can't
beat
that.
Seven? Seven now. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically Minnesota has the worst record, but I think the Clippers are playing worse basketball now, and they're soon going to eclipse the Timberwolves as the worst team in the NBA.
Well, it's not that they're exactly a full squad right now, so I'm giving them a little time.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying that your team, in comparison with all others, has some injuries?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow, yeah, well, they're certainly the only ones.
No other team is injured like the Clippers are.
Well, that was true before the season began. I mean, depending on your definition of injury.
Exactly.
So I'm giving them a first half of the season to get it right.
You're giving them a pass?
Yeah, I'm giving them a pass.
That's big of you.
He is forever hopeful.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
He is. You know what's funny, Dave, is most of the time if we dial this phone number during the show, you don't answer because you're sitting right in there in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not usually there.
Oh, yeah.
Are you coming in at all?
I'm in the hallway, so.
Oh, you're in the hallway. Oh, okay, good. All right, just checking.
All right, King.
How long do you think he would have talked to us in the hallway before he walked into the door?
A long time.
He's sitting down right outside the door. Yeah, I know. I hope for the second half of the season. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 6th of double December.
That's right.
Whoops. My bad.
Are we getting
worse
at this?
Itchy trigger finger.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me try again. It's Thursday, the 6th of double December.
That's right. They're breasts.
There we go. That was 100% totally my fault. Just had a finger spasm.
Is that our angry Miss Dumble December?
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very upset.
Oh, that drama continued, Lisa. We got a bunch of emails yesterday from people weighing in on the backstage drama at the pageant.
No kidding.
Good times.
Yep.
I like drama. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say I like drama.
Well, it's kind of yummy gossip, I have to say.
I love it when it doesn't involve me at
right,
all.
Right, right. We can step back
and enjoy
it.
It's awesome.
It's the best ever. Yeah. All right. Today's Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to prove that God exists with a mere banana.
I have not seen this video, but I am eager to hear what the explanation is.
This is one of those questions. We've learned it here. It's one of those questions where you either accept it on faith or you don't accept it on faith. You can't scientifically prove God.
Right.
And when you try, it's a waste of time. Until now. Until today's Kevin and Bean Show. This is going to be it.
Good news.
God will be proven once and for all.
Awesome.
I think. Or are we disproving God? I don't remember.
I think we proved that God exists.
Proof. Okay. Excellent. There's a new study out that says controlled drinking is a little bit better than AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. You know, this whole thing where you have to not drink seems a little extreme.
Now, aren't there some, not to be contrary here, but aren't there some people who have been alcoholics, have had real problems, have come back from it, and then have been able to be social drinkers and not go back off the deep end again? Does that happen sometimes?
Oh, my God. That's got to be one in a million.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do you know?
I know of no people like that. I've just never seen it happen.
You know, people who try to diet say, if it were like alcohol where I could just stop doing it and never do it again, it would be so much easier. But you have to eat every day. That's right. What makes it so hard.
That's
ridiculous.
Also on today's show, holiday parties gone wrong. This is always good.
Speaking of alcoholics.
Everybody's got the holiday parties where everything went south.
Yeah.
So we are going to give you a top 10 list, and we're going to take your phone calls. We do it every year at this time, and in every year, it's unbelievable the stuff bosses do.
People talk.
Or other employees
do. Yeah, you can't believe some of the requirements they have for parties. And
yeah, it's pretty bizarre. Ralph's got a new rant. I don't know if you heard him in the other room, but I think we're all in trouble.
I heard him at home.
You heard him from
home. That's how loud he was, yeah.
Yeah, that was loud, yeah.
That happens. Laquisha takes a look at Shot of Love with Tila Tequila coming up just after 6, about a half hour from now.
Okay.
We are going to draw a name from the K-Rock Street Team and give away tickets for the 2007 Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Which, by
the way, that's going to be a real relief for somebody who's trying to figure out how to buy tickets tonight, and then we call this morning and say, don't worry about it, you got tickets.
So we have that. We also have pit tickets for both nights that we're going to give away at the contest coming up a little bit later on this morning.
Great.
So that's all coming up this morning. And then, like Bean said, the on sale is tonight at 5 for night number 1 and tonight at 6 for night number 2. All the details are at krock.com, and Ralph is next with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on this morning?
Hey, weak homo.
What is that? What is that all about?
K-Rock listeners, you'll hear, as I just did this morning to my chagrin, that we passed on Adrienne Curry, who's going to be in Playboy hitting stands tomorrow. Adrienne Curry,
right.
With her new boobs, with her new boob job. We could have had her in the studio, could have chatted to her and at her and with her. And no, Kevin and Bean are weak.
Where's the love?
What's with you guys? I didn't realize for a hot chick.
I didn't realize she had new boobs. That would have changed my... That was not in the pitch. Would have changed my boobs.
She's wacky and funny. She's very entertaining.
She is.
And I would like to know what she's been doing since the show ended.
I kind of sense that very few people remember her or care about her.
We have a lot weaker guests for a lot worse reasons.
Hey,
we're not defending our record by any stretch of the imagination, but just because we made a mistake in the past.
And I don't know that it's automatically a mistake just because Ralph disagrees with it either, by the way.
But in this particular case, it happens to be.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what I'm saying. It has to be the fact that you're wrong.
In retrospect, if I knew she had new boobs, I would have said, yeah, because that, as you pointed out, she said she'd never do that. That would be a fascinating conversation.
I'm pretty sure she's developed some new Tyra drama, too. We could have asked her about that.
See, Mike, Lisa, and I have come up with a dozen questions.
With those questions, I'm in. Too late?
All right. Let's see if it's too late. Let's ask.
Bean wants to go talk to the guy who owns 19
satellite
dishes. Let's go talk to him again.
God. I love that dude. Mm-hmm.
How much are those satellites?
Let me get the receipt.
Let me look. I'm getting the receipt.
Hey, I went to visit that dude at his house in West Virginia, by the way.
Hit on his wife, left him a crushed human.
Yep. He didn't even have a wife. He never even had a date. No. I drove to West Virginia to see that dude. That's how much I loved him.
But you hit on the waitress that he dug at the coffee shop or whatever.
I didn't hit on her.
You
That's
did.
Not true. I did not. I just look at him. this guy who lives by himself with 19 satellite dishes, and I see my future. That's all. That's why I need to keep an eye on where he's at.
I just hope you don't see the new year. That's just me.
The immediate future is what we're hoping
for. That's right. Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe,
gay.
Has just been named. What?
Gay. Remember, gay? She came out. She said, Harry Potter's gay.
No, she said
Dumbledore is gay.
Whatever, whichever.
Huge difference, Kevin.
Daniel Radcliffe, the actor who plays Harry in the movies, has just been announced by Forbes magazine as the highest paid richest actor under 25 years old. I guess that's not such a big achievement. How many rich 25-year-olds are there? But it is interesting to know he made himself a cool $14 million last year.
Wow. Last year alone.
Yeah,
wow.
How about that? That's just for one of the movies. Mm. His fellow wizards, Emily Watson and Rupert Grint, made the list also just under him. So that's the way to go. If you want to be rich, be Harry Potter. I guess. Yep. That's what I'm telling you.
It's good advice for the young people coming up.
I think
right.
So. Put on some glasses. Just carve a lightning bolt into your forehead.
And learn magic.
Grab a wand. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Speaking of grabbing a wand. Britney Spears apparently is in a new controversy.
Really, what a surprise.
This time it's a battle with Paris Hilton.
Oh, she doesn't want to go there. Oh, no.
According to the Post-Chronicle. Where's that, San Francisco Post-Chronicle?
Don't know.
Anyway, the gossip column in that newspaper says that Britney has sent Paris a letter warning her that she has an X-rated tape of her, which includes footage of some lesbian action, and has threatened to make it public unless she starts treating Britney's friends better.
Britney's friends?
Yes.
What is this about?
I don't know. It's some sort of high school drama.
No, it's the Battle
apparently,
of the Titans.
Apparently, Britney called Paris's friends fat or something, and then Paris got all in her business, started wagging her finger, and then next thing you know. No, I have no idea what it's about, but apparently Paris isn't worried. Paris's friends told the London Daily Mirror that she laughed when she received the letter, saying it's crap. She knows of no such tape. Ball's in your court, Britney. Release it. Release it. Release it.
I suspect that there are lots of Paris Hilton sex tapes that she doesn't know about, though.
That's probably true. Ben Stiller strikes me as a nervous dude.
Sure.
You ever meet him? I think we've had him here in the studio a couple times.
Yeah. It's been a while.
He doesn't strike me as a guy who's totally comfortable in his skin.
Yeah. I can see that.
Funny guy, pretty good actor, has done some good work. But he just seems, I've met him a couple times at red carpets and stuff, and he just seems uncomfortable with the public and everything. Just doesn't seem to be too pleased.
Right.
This must have been a nightmare for him. Apparently, he was at an elevator recently, according to the New York... according to the New York Post, and he got off the elevator on the wrong floor.
Okay.
Stumbling directly into a wedding reception. The crowd spins around, looks at him, and goes wild, apparently, when they see it's him.
Right.
The wedding party goes up and grabs him, drags him into the ceremony, and has him do some photos with the bride and groom.
You almost have to just to follow through, like, so they don't know it was a mistake. I mean, you almost have to.
That's like a scene in one of his movies, right?
Yeah.
He's looking around, just completely awkward and just being paralyzed.
I can't turn around and get back on, so I guess I want to act like I meant to be here.
A witness told the New York Post he seemed a little spooked by the whole thing and quickly made his escape back to the elevator to get out of there. But that would have to be
odd. Do something like that.
Jews.
Oh, come on. He's only half Jewish, too, by the way.
That's right.
So, come on. Tonight is Barbara Walters' annual Most Fascinating People special.
Yeah, great.
The Most Fascinating People, Kevin.
Yeah.
Apparently, the field includes this year Justin Timberlake. Fascinating.
Sure.
Jennifer Hudson. She has been fascinating since you won her Oscar.
Yeah.
She's just fat now.
And Katherine Heigl.
Okay.
Oh. Not necessarily fascinating, but certainly hot. Mm-hmm. So there you got that going for you.
I think she also has the first Don Imus interview, too, since he came back to radio.
I wonder if he's sorry for what he said.
Mm.
He regrets it.
We can't. No. We don't have no way of telling.
I wonder what that would sound like.
No way to tell, really.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Yeah, you sure did, Imus.
He should not be wearing a cowboy hat when he does his radio show on TV. He just should. I don't get that.
Speaking of cowboys, thank you for the segue. The cowboy from the Village People. Is speaking up on behalf of Paris Hilton.
What?
I know. Wait.
Okay.
Who's speaking up?
You'll hear the tangential connection in a moment.
Are we playing Mad Libs here? What's going on, Ralph?
The cowboy from the Village People
right?
is coming to Paris Hilton's defense.
Okay.
Saying that partying is in her blood. She can't help herself.
Because
Randy Jones, the cowboy of the Village People, used to party with Rick and Kathy Hilton, he says. And he says in 1977, he shared a table with Rick and Kathy when they were out partying, and a rock of cocaine fell to the floor. Not wanting any of the good blow to waste, Andy Rads, all three dropped to their knees and snorted it out of the carpet.
Oh, no.
Good times.
I guess you don't want one of the village people on your side, do you?
And that's why I would, if I had a time machine, I'd go back to the 70s.
That people partied.
I knew how to party.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taken drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
If she did take drugs, though, it'd be okay.
Explained away by that.
Because that is in her, that's in her blood. She can't help herself.
Right.
She has no choice.
What's she going to do?
And, couldn't be more excited. Some great birthdays today in the Celebrity Birthday Roundup. Janine Turner from Northern Exposure.
Oh,
45
yeah.
years old today. Whatever happened to her? Oh, I know what she's doing. She's doing Christian yoga now.
She is?
Yeah. I've got that at home. I have to bring in some clips from the Christ yoga DVD.
What makes it Christian yoga? The music, I guess?
That and what you think about and what you say while you're doing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I think has got to cheese off the Hindus, who I think invented yoga.
Yeah.
Hi. Hey, thanks for that. We're Christians. We're just going to take it now. It's ours. Like the Crusades. Peter Buck from REM. Excuse me. He is 51 years old today. Stephen Wright, one of my favorite comedians of all time.
He's the best.
He really is the best. He is so unique.
He is unique. I'm not a huge fan.
Come on.
So droll. I love him.
He's got a new album out this past month, his first album in 25 years or something like that. His first one was called I Have a Pony, and his new one is called I Still Have a Pony. And it is so funny. You owe yourself a download or a purchase. It's great. You'll laugh.
It's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. Come on. That's funny. I drove across country. I only had one tape to listen to. Can't remember what it was. Come on. God, it's so good. I got a light switch in my house. It doesn't do anything. I keep flipping it on and off. I can't see what it operates. Then I get a call from a woman in Germany. Says, hey, cut it out. The applause was a loft, but still, funny.
He was applauding the setup.
And Tom Hulce, very talented actor who was in Animal House. He's been in a ton of movies. Dominic and Eugene, he was in a great, great film. Oh, that's right. He also played Mozart in Amadeus. He is 54 years old today. Rock me, Tom Hulce. Doesn't quite have the same ring.
Not exactly.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
He's like a bull. Look at him.
No kidding.
Ralph, what's the problem, man? It's a holiday.
Is that Ralph, the invitation Nazi? Is that who just came in?
Yes.
Working up ahead of steam. Working up ahead of steam just thinking about this topic.
Oh, it's time for another Ralph.
Why do you hate?
It's time for another Ralph Rants. Let's just get into it.
One man. One quest. He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront. His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. A fighter for injustice, he will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
You know, it is the holiday season.
Charlie, you blockhead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you still going?
I apologize. It is the holiday season. You know what the holiday season brings.
Yes.
Holiday parties.
Sure. Holiday parties.
Holiday parties. Right. Everyone loves a good holiday party, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I never would have thought of that. It would have taken me a lot of guesses to get the holiday parties season brings.
But, you know, through the magic of technology, it's easier than ever to plan your holiday parties and to invite your loved ones to come to your house for your party because there is the thing known as the e-vite. And
we all
get the e-vites in our mailboxes.
Sure.
It's a joy when you click on that and say, oh, someone invited me to something. I wonder what this is about. And you look at the invitation and you read it. Here's the thing about the Evite. If you're, especially if you're the host of the party, you can see when your Evite was viewed by your guest list. It says the person's name, and it says viewed on November 24th.
Really? So when they look at it, you have a record of that.
Exactly. It shows you right on your homepage of your invitation there who has seen your invite, who hasn't opened it yet, and if the people who did open it, when they saw it.
It does eliminate the old, oh, I never got it. Oh, I never saw it. Oh, I didn't know. It does eliminate that excuse.
It helps with that. But and here's the thing. When you get the Evite, answer the Evite! Answer it. Because I can see I'm throwing a party. This is all stems from the fact that my wife and I are throwing our annual holiday cocktail party.
A little late, but okay.
We have a cocktail party every year, and it's kind of an open house and a lot of booze and food, and it's a fun event. So we invite a ton of people. And we can see when the people are reading the invitation. Now, the thing is, when you read that invitation, what you should do is respond in some way to that invitation.
Wait a minute. You want a response?
Because right now, we sent these invitations out November the 23rd, okay? 2 weeks have gone by. And there's an ass full of people who are just sitting on their fat asses, not answering this one way or the other. They're just sitting on their asses.
Waiting for a better offer?
And that's the thing. I know what you people are doing. You're sitting back. You're saying, well, geez, that sounds like fun, but something else might come up. So I'm just going to wait to the last minute before I answer to their evite. Listen to me, people. I will not be your cocktail party booty call, okay? I will not wait until the evening of the 14th. You say, well, okay, I'll go. No, you answer the evite when you get it. Look, you're not that important, okay? You can make plans 3 weeks in advance. You can figure out what you're doing 3 weeks from now. If you can make it, you can make it. Whatever. I don't care. Just respond. Because food has to be ordered. Booze has to be purchased. Preparations have to be made for this party.
So you don't care if the answer is no. That doesn't offend you.
I don't care. Don't come. Hell, I don't want most of the people we invited to come. But I need to know how much beer I need to buy, how much food we need to get. I need to know that stuff. And in your defense, people who aren't responding, I know Evite should make it easier for you to respond. Oh, no, wait a minute. They can't. You just have to click a freaking button.
Now, there is
you
that.
You have to send an invitation in the mail
or
anything like that.
You don't have to make a phone call. You don't have to put a stamp on an envelope. You don't have to send a telegram. You don't have to send Pony Express. Just click the box. You're going to come. You're not going to come. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I may have plans. I may not have plans. Geez, if they only had a box you'd click for, I don't know if I'll be able to make it or not. They have that, too.
Oh, they have a maybe box?
They have a maybe box.
Interesting.
Answer the evites, you mother effers.
Is there anyone in particular that you are directing this scorn toward? Perhaps somebody who might be in this room, or perhaps more than one person who might be in this room.
First of all, God bless Bean. 5 minutes after the invitation went out, the evite went out, our first response, Bean.
Well, of course.
But he loves to do that. He wants to be the first person to turn you down.
And you have to write a little comment, too, when you respond. And Bean wrote, I am the safest invite of the holiday season because, you know Bean's not going to come to your party.
Of course.
But at least he took the time. He didn't just, like, you know what? He didn't look and go, well, I'm not going to that party. And he just blow it off. He didn't not respond.
Right.
He responded and he knew he was not coming.
Can I just say, I didn't care about being first on the invite, you know, sending back the invite or anything, but I'm one of those guys who, if I know it's something I'm going to have to go back and do later and it's very, very quick to do now, I'd rather just deal with it now, get it out of my inbox and not worry about it again.
There's a fresh idea.
Not familiar with that
plan. Just handle the invite as it comes in your mailbox and respond in kind.
Okay, so that's me. What about Lisa? What did Lisa do?
Lisa said, I don't think I was invited. Okay. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure I got everybody in the morning show, and I double-bit checked, and I had used a mail. You know, sometimes they have a group of names, emails. You can just click on that, and you think that's everyone covered. I went back, and sure enough, apparently I had Lisa's old email address or something. Anyway, I sent her out the evite. I sent it out again.
Okay.
And so I said, here, I don't want Lisa to feel bad. Here, I'm sending her the email. Right away, I can't make it. Well, begged for an invitation, then turned me down.
Bean? I didn't want you to yell at me for not responding
at least you
to
responded.
Your evite.
At least you responded.
I didn't
All right,
know when
so
the
that's
party
Lisa.
Was.
At least you responded. So that's
what
fine.
About the monkey? What did the monkey do?
He has yet to respond. He's still waiting.
Oh, really, and Kevin?
Why is
2 weeks
Kevin?
Later?
What are you waiting for?
Well, Kevin's got a very, very busy social schedule.
Send it to Linus then. Why isn't Linus making the decision? He runs his calendar.
Because I know I'm going out of town, and I didn't know if I was going to be home that night or not.
So you checked. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it or not.
You knew you were going to be out of town, but you weren't sure if you were going to be home?
Like, I'm not sure when we were coming home.
Oh, I see.
I'm not exactly a good planner, it might surprise you all to know.
Yeah. Well, can you ask your wife?
I will, yeah.
To respond or tell you to respond?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't get it?
Right, I mean...
Yeah, it says Kevin viewed November 25th right there on the invitation.
If I would have only know that it tells them when you view it.
Yeah, it tells us. So now I know 2 weeks have gone by, and freaking Psycho Mike, by the way, who does nothing. This guy, he works out.
He's got a clear calendar.
He comes here, he goes to work, and then he goes home.
He stays at home all day,
just
every day.
Wanks it. Just spills his seed all over his apartment. That's all he does.
In retrospect, I should have checked the
maybe
box.
2 weeks.
I didn't know.
2 weeks in, I'm still waiting for Psycho Mike to get off
his. He lets you talk.
Taut muscular ass. and try to respond to whether they're coming to the party.
In retrospect, I should have checked the maybe box. I didn't know. I don't read Evites. I've gotten 9,000 in my life.
Well, apparently, I've read, you read like, this one. You said viewed on November 25th.
Yeah, I opened the clip.
2 weeks ago.
I opened it. I looked at it. I've gone to Ralph's parties 2 years in a row. I love them. I want to go to Ralph's party. Here's the thing. I know Ralph likes to paint the picture of me not doing anything, but as you guys know, I'm the Rodney of the next generation, and I do the weekend overnights. Now, it's also my
wife's...
Is
Ralph having a party at 2 a.m.?
No, here's the thing.
That's when it starts,
it's my wife's birthday that weekend, and she's going away for the weekend to celebrate her birthday. Now, I want to go with her, and that would take precedence over Ralph's party.
But you know she's not going to let you.
Shut up for a second. Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm running,
this is not Mike's rant.
Mike's rant.
If I'm running the overnight, though, I can't go with my wife, you know, out of town. So I will go to Ralph's party.
Story ever.
Just shut up.
Like usual.
It took Lisa 30 seconds to respond. It took me 30 seconds.
Because there's like 50 circumstances that I have to get out.
Oh yeah, your life's so complex, Mike.
And Gene has not put up the schedule yet for me to know if I'm running the weekend or not. So when I do find out, there's no goddamn time limit on your Evite. And I figured, look,
there is a time limit.
I understand planning a party's difficult, and I want to give you due time, you know, to buy a beer and all that. And I figured if I give you 1 week's advance notice, that should be enough.
But you're the
freaking Evite Nazi who reads the thing and, why haven't you responded? I've been making sure I check exactly when everybody opens up their Evite, because I just have to know how long it takes you.
No, I'm not checking, but when half the people you invite to a party have yet to respond, you're like, all right, this is just BS. You know, let me tell you something. The President of the United States can make last-minute changes to his schedule, okay? He decided to see Al Gore on a whim, on a day's notice. He changed his plans and met with Al Gore. Whatever you people have planned, whatever your convoluted lives are, oh, I do overnights, and my wife got 9 birthdays this year, and I don't know whether to get her a gift. Screw you. Just pick a box and click it.
You're right, and I admit, I should have picked the maybe box. I didn't know there was a maybe box. That's my bad. But,
well,
it's
a whole page you have to read. It really is.
I never read it.
Page.
I open the click, I see Ralph Carey party, the date, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll think about it.
But yeah, exactly. That you said, I'll think about it. I'll get back to whenever it's
I saw the date, and I knew that there was going to be problems there. I want to go. I've had a very good time at your parties in the past. There are other circumstances I need to line up first, and other people need to do their job, and things need to come into picture.
Other people need to do their job. It's not Psycho Mike's fault. It's all.
My favorite
else.
Thing that Psycho Mike said when he stepped up to the mic was, I get hundreds and 900 Evites.
Mr.
Popular gets a lot of Evites to everything.
He doesn't read them, apparently. He doesn't know how the whole works. The whole Evite system works, but he gets tons of them.
I don't. I admit that I'm not good with the Evites.
Well, it's not a problem anymore because you won't find your Evite name on the list anymore.
Can you what do you call it?
Rescind? Absolutely.
Can you?
You can strike people off the guest list.
Oh,
you can edit the guest list at any moment.
Fantastic.
And wherever they are, by the way, when you edit the guest list on your computer, they drop dead. That's what's cool about it.
I think computer.
Ralph's usually I'm behind Ralph on his rants. His level of anger
this
on
one's
this
focused
is,
at you. That's why
no,
you don't like
it's
it.
Not. And I don't. By the way, out of all the people for you to get all upset about, Lightning, all these people come to your party, get hammered. Lightning's dropping F-bombs at the top of his lungs. I come every
good
year
times,
behaving
man.
Myself.
It's good
not
times.
I easily bring the most expensive housewarming gift, if not. In the top three.
I don't care about your gifts.
I'm saying I'm a good freaking party guest. Lightning's throwing around the N-word like it's nothing, and I'm the one you want to keep out?
Yes. That's good times. Lightning drunk throwing the N-word around is good times.
You don't have to entertain.
You don't
have to pay for that.
You don't need a party or a DJ or anything.
That's what you look for, to guess.
Just set Lightning loose.
King of Mexico's putting his hands in the chocolate fountain, and I'm the one he wants to keep out.
Here's my favorite friend.
By the way, Lightning... RSVP'd, click the box. Alex, click the box. Everyone found the box
somehow.
By the
way, you forgot that Mike said, oh, no, I'm doing something Lightning that night. I'm doing something with Lightning.
That's true.
That was the first excuse. I don't know if I can make it because I'm doing something with Lightning. Lightning's already RSVP'd that he's coming to the party.
That's Lightning's fault for being an idiot. A month ago, he goes, there's this concert. It's Lamb of God and Killswitch. It'll be perfect for us to do. I've already got us tickets. I got us in the parking lot. It'll be fantastic. Yesterday, I talked to him about it. I said, Ralph said you already RSVP'd for the party. What about Lamb of God? He goes,
He totally did.
I forgot.
I saw that.
Oh, man. Yeah, my bad. You know, listen.
Maybe
like
my
said,
party was a little bit more important than whatever plans he had going.
I understand I'm not
night.
The jet-setting showbiz dude that you are, Ralph, but I'm not going home and doing nothing. I have a lot of other crap, especially
Here's
on this
like
weekend.
About Mike. Everyone else has been able to say,
You know what? Probably should have sent that back. Totally sorry. Not Mike.
No.
Mike has dominated half of this Ralph's rant to
because
what a great guest he is.
It's a crap rant.
And how good he
it's
is.
It's a crap rant.
It's all about him.
Ralph's solo lids. Listen,
around him.
Ralph's solo lids totally justified.
Now, Mike will recount all of my previous rants.
Yes.
And this is crap. There's no...
You know what's crap? You talking
no,
so
no.
much?
If you put an RSVP buy on the Evite, I understand. Then I could say, listen, dude, I didn't hold up to my end of the bargain. He's just upset because he's the one who's monitoring when people open it.
Because
who does that?
Because common courtesy would dictate when you get an invitation to something, you would respond and let those people know whether you're going to come or not.
And
especially
what if
when you're that much advance.
What if you're unsure about the response?
Then you click the I don't know, the maybe box. I'm unsure whether I'll be able to make it or not.
Okay, you're right, and I should have done that. We got that out of the first 5 seconds. Why are you still busting my balls?
Because you're going on and on and on. This point of this whole rant was originally about people who get Evites responding in a reasonable amount of time because a lot of people, I know it's hard to imagine the situation that doesn't involve you, Mike, but a lot of people... Just look at the Evite and then just let it sit there and get around to it whenever they want to get around to it because they are indeed waiting to see if something better comes along. And the point was that is BS and people should respond when they get the Evites within a reasonable amount of time.
I used to think like Mike does that it's no big deal, but my wife throws a lot of parties and the RSVP thing is a really important thing. You have to know how many people are coming.
No, he's like got a valid
said,
point.
No is fine, but you just got to know yes or no.
He needs to know how much booze, buy how much food. But I understand that. But I said to myself, if I give him a week's notice, that should be sufficient.
Well, I'm glad that you get to make up that random rule.
You don't think that's logical?
You have no idea what. Our time frame is for planning this party and how far out we have to get stuff ready.
Because you're right. Was I
this
wrong,
weekend
though?
Was
I
out.
Wrong?
This weekend is out, and my wife's out of town for the better part of next week, and the party is the following weekend. So you are wrong, because the purchases have already been made. The food has been ordered from the catering company. The booze has been purchased. The plastic cups, everything you need to throw has already been taken care of.
So I'm just... You might as well say, don't come.
Don't come.
All right.
Yes.
Settle.
Please take him off
settle.
The list.
Now,
do your overnight shift with your wife as you're eating a cake and you're watching a concert and you're blowing a whistle. Whatever multitasking you need to do that night. Now you got all the freaking time in the world.
All right, guys. I think we're out of time. But we can all agree on one thing.
Hey, Psycho Mike, you douchebag.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
You f***ing creep.
That's true.
Mother f***. I hate your s***. Not up for it today, you asshole.
All right. And the beautiful thing about this year is I think there's going to be enough tickets for everybody. I don't think there's going to be a person out there who wants to buy tickets who's not going to be able to. So I'm very, very excited about that.
That'd be wonderful.
It's never the case, unfortunately.
It's 6:45 on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know who's got his own radio show is Mr. Bob Dylan, the legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, does a show on one of the satellite channels. I think it's on XM. And I believe we have Mr. Dylan on the phone with a preview of this week's episode. Good morning, Bob.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays to you. First of all, by the way, congratulations on the great reviews of the movie that's out about you called I'm Not There. People are raving about that. Yeah.
I'm Not There.
I don't understand. It looks like...
I'm Not There.
Hmm?
I'm not there, right.
No, I'm Not There.
I'm Not There, right.
I'm Not There.
Right. That's...
Have you seen the movie, Bob?
No, I'm Not There.
You're a fan?
What?
I don't think that's what he said.
I think he said, I'm not there.
I'm not in the movie.
Oh. You're not in the movie.
No.
Oh, you're not in the movie. I see.
I'm
you're
not
really
there.
Not there.
Yeah, okay. Really not there.
All right. Let's talk about the radio. Let's talk about the radio. I have not seen the movie yet, Bob. I'm looking forward to it. Let's talk about the radio show for this week. What are you calling it? What's the program called?
Bob Dylan, Sleepy Time Lemonade Hour.
Nope, it's a Theme Time Radio Hour, I
Bob
believe.
Bob Dylan's Bedtime Tuck Him In Drink of Water Hour.
I don't think so.
Bob Dylan's Record Breaking Time in the 40 Hour.
I think Kevin's got it right. Theme Time Radio Hour. Now, what is your theme that you're going to be focusing on this week, Bob?
This week on today will be all music, dance, and rest. Mommy.
Mommy. The theme is mommy. Right?
Is that what you said, Bob?
He picks a theme, people, and then he talks about it, and he plays songs relating to it.
They all sound kind of story. We can spend the whole time talking about the story behind the story of all the things we let them play. And this thing is Molly.
See, mommy.
Mommy. I think you said Miami.
I thought you said Miami, maybe.
Miami.
I heard
Miami.
Bali. I thought it was like
Miami.
Bali.
Miami.
Bali.
Bobby.
Bali?
Bobby.
Bobby.
Money.
Money.
Molly.
Money. Money. No. It's money. Money.
Money
is what it is.
Marty.
Okay.
Morrissey.
Monty.
Monty. Okay.
Marty.
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 Beans Manslave. Marty.
B-E-I-T-Y.
B-E-I-T-Y.
No.
Beatty. What's Warren have to do with that?
Warren Beatty.
Party.
Body. Body.
What comes from Poppy? Party.
Party.
Oh, party. Yeah.
Oh, party.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Yeah, okay. I didn't say no.
Party right. Is the theme.
Yeah.
Because when I think party, parties, I think Bob Dylan.
Being the parties, I just... RSVP'd on Round Eva.
Oh, you're going to be there. That's great.
Good man.
Yeah, just opened it, did it right away.
Right?
Evite etiquette.
You didn't wait?
Next week's theme, Evite etiquette.
All right. So, wow, that's a great topic, especially for the holidays with all the parties going on. What kinds of songs are you going to be playing this week, Bob?
Well, one of my favorites. You're going to like this one, too. Ingo, Ingo.
Oh, there you go.
That's an all-time K-Rock classic. Good choice right there, Bob.
And Emma.
Okay, explain the Pink.
Yeah, why? I'm surprised to hear you playing a Pink record, Bob.
Oh, I love Pink.
Bob, it's okay. All right.
Yum, 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 yum.
You don't, I know you sing along now because you're kind of in a good mood stuff, but when you do the show, you don't sing along with the music.
Yeah.
You do.
Bonding is theme time karaoke hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You know what you got to do?
What?
You got to fight. For your right. Step high.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to fight.
Hey, hey. Hey, hey.
I think I would listen to this hour. This sounds like a good one, Bob.
You know why? Because I like to party like a rock star.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't ever need to hear that noise.
Yeah, get my crunk on.
You know crunk?
Wow. Bob Dylan is not.
Next week's theme is crunk.
You're not getting your crunk on, Bob. You're just not.
I am. Because I like this. Honey, all the
hay. Oh, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, no.
Honey, all the hay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a party in my pants.
Is that right?
And I want you to come.
He didn't mean it like that, I don't think.
No, I want you to come to the party.
Oh, in your pants.
And to the goddamn Eva.
Taking care of the important issues today, we will prove there is a God coming up after the news at 7. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. What's going on, Ralph?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
What
happened?
Going inside. He's doing his time.
Guilty, 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 guilty. Yeah.
That's right.
Starts his 48-day sentence in the Glendale City Jail.
Glendale?
Well, if he's like everyone else, he'll be out tomorrow.
Oh, Lisa, you would think. However, the city attorney tells the Los Angeles Times that he will do his full sentence since there's no overcrowding in the Glendale City Jail.
Well, then they picked the wrong jail.
Apparently.
No kidding.
Kiefer, if you're going to drink and drive, do it in L.A. County or something. Do it in the city. They got too many people in there.
Aww,
so
bummer.
He's spending Christmas in prison.
Christmas and New Year's, yeah. Mm-hmm. He had a 30-day sentence for this DUI. Then another 18 days were tacked on because of a probation violation stemming from a 2004 case. So he will do the time.
He did the crime. Right?
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. That's what I was just saying.
Don't do it.
Oh, you well Beretta done, fans out there.
Well done.
Nicely done.
After that, he's got to finish an 18-month alcohol program, take 6 months of weekly therapy sessions, and pay a $510 fine. $510? That's highway robbery.
How can he buy Christmas presents?
Exactly. For God's sakes, he's only a TV star. Leave him be.
Does he get to keep his job at CTU, or is he going to lose it because of this?
See, Bean acts like, never mind.
I'm going to take my money right now, and I'm going to get it all turned into kroner.
What's kroner?
That's what they spend in Sweden.
Okay.
Mm. Take my entire worldly fortune and having it all transferred into kroner.
And why?
Because it's just been announced that in Stockholm, Sweden, in 2009, June 3rd to be exact, the opening of the ABBA Museum.
Yay!
ABBA! Finally! A museum worthy of their accomplishments.
You guys want a great laugh? Look up ABBA videos on YouTube.
I mean, if you want to see great art.
Worst videos ever.
Apparently, the museum will not only be a tribute to the legendary pop group, it will feature actual costumes and memorabilia from their many video shoots.
Mm.
Great costumes. It's hard to see a large, fat Swedish guy in white spandex and spangles at times. It will also have a fully operational recording studio, a giant dance floor, and an ABBA wardrobe that you can try on.
Oh. That's
so going to
be a little creepy.
Like.
Wow.
Yeah, it's June 3rd. It opens for the five-day ABBA festival in Stockholm, Sweden, 2009. So join me, won't you?
Nope. Yeah. A lot of young people may not know ABBA very much. They were the most popular band around the globe for about 10 years. There was no band bigger. In fact, a couple of years ago, they were offered $1 billion to get back together and tour.
$1 billion with a B.
Wow.
They said no.
That's how popular they were.
That's how stupid they are. How popular and stupid.
If you want to laugh, look at their videos.
That's awesome. Awesome videos.
I think Frida had some mental problems. I think she's a recluse now, and that was part of the hang-up with getting together. What?
I don't think we care about the individual ABBA members.
Well, if people are wondering how could they turn away $1 million, I don't think Frida is maybe up to performing.
I think Frida's okay. I think it's Inga they have the problem with.
Agnetha, or whatever her name is?
Agnetha, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
she's the one?
She's the
Frida's
one.
Frida's okay? Agnetha's the one with the trouble?
You guys because they were married. You know, they were married. The four of them were all married to each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a bad, bitter breakup, and so it's been tough.
You guys know we're on the air, right?
Because Frida showed up, actually, for the London premiere of Mamma Mia, the musical based on the ABBA music.
Okay.
She showed up and reunited with Benny and Bjorn, so I think
hey, Ralph?
Yeah.
We're not rehearsing. This is on the air.
What?
We're on the air.
What's your favorite ABBA song, do you think, Ralph?
The podcast. I think Take a Chance on Me, probably.
Oh, that's a good one.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chicken chance, chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chicken chance, chance.
I'm an SOS man. I think that's my
SOS.
I love SOS. That's my favorite, I think. How about you, Kevin? Which one's
your favorite ABBA song? Kevin? Hey, Kev?
Are you with us anymore? What? Or have you tuned out like our audience?
I've tuned out like your audience. I'm listening to anything else.
Hey, this football thing is catching on. This whole NFL thing.
You think?
I think it's gonna stick around for a while.
It's popular now?
The New England Patriots being unbeaten is probably the biggest thing to happen in the NFL in a long time. Certainly when it comes to TV ratings.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
The overnight Nielsen ratings for the New England Patriot Baltimore Ravens game on ESPN Monday Night Football.
Right.
Had the largest ratings of any program ever in the history of cable television.
Wow.
Wait, even more than High School Musical 2, which was the current record holder?
Sorry, Bean, but yes.
Wow.
Thank God something passed it.
Big outrageous. Someone's got to beat him, though, right? Somebody's got to beat
him. Well, not if the NFL keeps paying off the refs.
Yeah, word. Come on, Pittsburgh. Come on,
Pittsburgh's got about the best shot now, doesn't it?
Come on, Pittsburgh. Rolling the dice, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Hulce, he played Mozart in the Amadeus movie, also been in Animal House, a lot of feature films. He's 54 years old today. Stephen Wright, funny man, is 52. Peter Buck, guitarist for REM, turns 51. And Janine Turner, actress from Northern Exposure and other TV shows. She is 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have something on the website. Got a lot of great stuff up at kevinandbean.com. If you have not yet, for instance, checked out the video from Friday from the Miss Double December pageant down in Fullerton, you owe it to yourself to look at that. That's fantastic. We also have a section called the Internet Roundup that we want to call your attention to right now.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
You know what's weird about that is that, Lightning's not a cowboy. It's an odd choice.
That's true.
We played you a clip that we put the link up for at krock.com a couple of days ago of Kelly Pickler and how dumb she is. She was talking
She's a former American Idol contestant who was famous on that show for being dumb and apparently is still getting some mileage out of being dumb because she appeared as a contestant on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on Fox.
And she couldn't figure out if Europe was a country.
Or France.
France was a city.
Was a country.
She has no idea. And it's spectacular viewing. You have to see that.
Yeah.
But we have another one that we put up for you. And this is the atheist nightmare, people. This right here.
A lot of people through the ages have thought, let's try to prove that there's a God. That way people can't deny it. If we could prove there's a God, there's no argument anymore, right?
Right.
Well, Kirk Cameron and some dude decided that they were going to do it online. Mm-hmm. And they proved that there's a God with a banana. And I know that sounds like a joke.
It sounds nasty.
And I know it sounds nasty if you're Lisa.
Seems like Lisa would be more easily able to prove if there's a guy with a banana
exactly.
than Kirk Cameron.
Exactly.
But they tried to show that there had to have been a designer because of the design. And I know a lot of people believe that. I believe there's a God. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there are things that point to it, like the complexity of life, complexity of the human eye, whatever. But they decided to use a banana. And to me, that seems like it might be just a little simplified. So they start off by holding up a banana to the camera. And they say these words.
Behold the atheist's nightmare.
Behold the atheist's nightmare.
Okay.
So the people who don't believe in God, they wake up in the middle of the night in a cold, hard sweat because they think, banana!
It's like garlic to a vampire.
Yes. Yes. Behold the atheist's nightmare. And he's holding a banana.
So their argument is that a banana is so perfect that it could not have accidentally or naturally grown that way. It had to have some divine guidance. Is that what they're saying?
Well, I'll let them describe okay. further because I don't know that I'm really on the same page as they are.
If you study a well-made banana, you'll find on the far side there are three ridges. On the close side, two ridges.
Okay, so he's holding you, you know, showing you the banana. Mm-hmm. On the far side, there's three ridges. Close side, two ridges. I don't know. I've never checked a banana for ridges, to be honest.
Okay. If you get your hand ready to grip a banana, you'll find on the far side there are three grooves. On the close side, two grooves. The banana and the hand are perfectly made one for the other.
Okay. So if you hold your hand up, there's three grooves on the outside and there's two grooves on the inside. I'm not sure how many fingers he's using to do that.
Right.
But, so obviously there's a God because the banana can be held by the human hand.
Oh, but what about doesn't an apple fit in the human hand fine too? I mean,
oh, Bean, you're so simplistic.
Fruits? What about the fruits that don't?
Not yeah. proof of God, apparently.
What about watermelons, for instance? What about a watermelon that you can't pick up and you can't eat right out of a watermelon? You got to cut it up.
Can barely open.
Coconuts are the devil's food, I think. I don't know.
God made some food and the devil made other food.
What do you want, me to defend them? They're talking about a banana.
I'm trying to understand where they're coming from here. But wasn't the banana one of those fruits, though, that has been genetically
yes.
engineered, like so many that we eat, that where it has changed over the years? It doesn't look anything like the bananas of a million years ago anyway.
It used to have seeds and all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah, How is that God then? Why would God have made something that then needed to be genetically manipulated by man over the course of thousands of years to now be the perfect fruit?
But here's what
I
like.
They might not know about the genetics.
Right. That's what I like is that it's been manipulated by man and they're holding it up as an example of God.
Yeah.
So then they go on about the banana because there are other things about the banana that speaks to a creator.
You'll find the maker of the banana, Almighty God, has made it with a non-slip surface.
Okay. Non-slip surface.
Well, he's never seen a Three Stooges movie, then.
It has outward indicators of inward contents. Green, too early. Yellow, just right. Black, too late.
Wow.
But you can look at any fruit hanging on any tree and tell whether it's too early to be picked or it's ripe or it's too late. I mean, that's true of all fruits and vegetables, right?
Not like the banana.
Not like the banana bean. If it's yellow when it's good, it must be God. So then they go on, and this is where I start to question whether they're talking about God or gay sex. I can't figure it out, but you make up your mind as they continue to talk about the banana.
Now, if you go to the top of the banana, you'll find, as with the soda can makers, they placed a tab at the top, so God has placed a tab at the top. When you pull the tab, the contents don't squirt in your face.
Okay.
Oh!
But they don't. Oh. He's right. When you pull the tab... Oh. The contents do not squirt in your face. Therefore, God.
But when you bite into a tomato, juice comes out of it and it can squirt you.
Is devil.
That, does that mean there is no God? Oh, that's a devil's food. Okay.
Devil's food. So far we have three grooves on the far side, two on the close side, like
okay.
your hands,
okay.
apparently. And we have non-slip surface.
Okay.
Outward indicator of inward contents.
Right.
Green, not time. Yellow, good. Black, not good. And there's a pull tab on the top of it.
And there's a non-squirt.
And it doesn't squirt you in the face. And finally,
you'll find the wrapper, which is biodegradable, has perforations. Notice how gracefully it sits over the human hand. Notice it has a point at the top for ease of entry. It's just the right shape for the human mouth.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
what exactly are we talking about here? Are you trying to prove God, or are you trying to have sex with Kirk Cameron? Now, by the way, Kirk Cameron, who used to be on
Growing Pains,
is sitting to this guy's left or whatever, and hasn't said a word yet. Not one single word.
He's too busy massaging the guy's thighs. That's why.
So I want you to hear that part again and just see if this reminds you of God or gay porn.
You'll find the wrapper, which is biodegradable, has perforations. Notice how gracefully it sits over the human hand. Notice it has a point at the top for ease of entry. It's just the right shape for the human mouth. It's chewy, easy to digest, and it's even curved toward the face to make the whole process so much easier. Seriously, Kurt, the whole of creation testifies to the genius of God's creative hand.
That was it. Oh, yeah. That was it. That's all he said.
Well, he was radiating star power.
So there you go, people.
To help us.
God. Banana equals God.
Solved.
Those of you that are atheists, I guess you got to get over it now.
Yep.
Because of the banana and the pop top and not squirting in your face or whatever it is.
I love this phone call we're about to make because it makes me kind of feel like Santa Claus a little bit, because we're going to give away right now a pair of tickets to night number one. That's this Saturday night of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. That's the show with Linkin Park and Angels and Airwaves and all the other great bands. And it's just a K-Rock Street Team member does not know we are calling. Psycho Mike is dialing right now. I've really enjoyed doing that this year.
Because it feels like Santa Claus?
Santa Claus. Well, rarely are people excited to hear from Kevin and B. And I think that's what's different about this particular contest, is because they're happy when we call because we give them stuff.
Sometimes, yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, they are. They are so happy.
And it's always good radio, too, every morning.
Anyone there? Mic dialed again.
Perhaps a redial.
Maybe. It sounded like someone picked up one second before we said hello and maybe hung up. Yeah, same number. Try that.
Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, we're trying again. Hang on here.
7:30. I mean, I doubt they're at work, but maybe we can try that one next
time. We are.
This doesn't work. Day of the on sale. This is when you want to win right now.
Yes.
That's right.
You don't have to do anything tonight.
Come on, pick it up. Don't make us move on to the next number.
Hi, you've reached the
home. Oh. Hello? People just don't answer their phones anymore. That's what we're learning from this.
Before this week?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Angela Lara or Lara Angela. Hey, is this the kind of answering machine where you can hear us and you're just looking at it right now trying to figure out who it is before you pick up the phone?
Because that's just rude.
Because we don't appreciate
that.
It's Kevin and Bean calling if you're there. Hello, hello, hello.
You have an echo up there?
It's Santa Claus.
Steve, tell her what she's won.
Where's Steve? Who's Steve? I'm Steve.
Okay. That's you.
You remember the street team if we've got our facts right and we dialed the phone right.
Yeah.
Angela Lara or Lara Angela from Northridge. And we're going to give you tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007, which is this Saturday night.
That's pretty nice of us.
You get to see Serj Tankian, Rise Against, Paramore, Bad Religion, Avenged Sevenfold, Angels and Airwaves, and Linkin Park. But you got to pick up in the next 5 seconds.
One.
Nah, I'm just kidding. You win, and we'll call you later when you get up at around 11. Stumble out and try and have a coffee to wake up and get rid of your hangover. All right.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Hey, we enjoyed talking to you. Thanks.
Very good.
What?
Well, it's a little anticlimactic.
We should make them know the phrase that pays when they call back. Something.
Something. Just
something.
Just because they made us mad?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I don't know much about the AA program, but I do know that it is successful for an awful lot of people. And now there's another method of treating alcohol addiction that is getting a little bit of notoriety. And it comes as a little bit of a surprise to me, and that's moderate drinking.
There's a guy who's the author of a book called Take Control of Your Drinking and You May Not Need to Quit. Who is also a clinical director and a lecturer at Harvard Medical School.
Okay, he's got credentials.
So it doesn't sound like it's a quack.
So is what he's saying is that it doesn't have to be all or nothing? You can still drink, just don't let it get out of control?
I
mean, that's what a lot of alcoholics think they can do, and then they realize they can't, and that's why they have to stop altogether.
Well, that's why we wanted to find out just exactly what the hell they're talking about here, because it's counterintuitive to everything we've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say good morning to, I believe this is Dr. Kirk Langstrom. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Doctor, it says here that you're with the Johns Hopkins University. Is that a misprint from our producer? You mean the Johns Hopkins University?
No.
Jack Hopkins.
I've never heard of Jack Hopkins. Which one is that?
It's close. It's down the street. It's a smaller university.
Is it part of Johns Hopkins?
No. Well, we share a name.
Hopkins.
Okay.
Yeah. We're like a less stuffy Johns Hopkins. We're like Jack Hopkins. Hey, Jack. We're casual university.
Okay.
I understand. Yeah. All right. So, doctor, is this a field that you are a specialist in? You've done some research in alcohol addiction?
Yes. I am a former alcoholic myself.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. You are? Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you beat it? How did you stop drinking?
Moderate drinking.
Right.
I went from an alcoholic to a social drinker.
Well, okay.
Guys, hold it down.
What's going on there? You have class or something?
No. I'm in an establishment that services people who like to have a cocktail.
You're in a bar.
Yes, some people would call it a bar.
Not even 11 there yet.
And your point is?
It just seems early to be drinking. I mean, as a moderate drinker, who starts drinking before noon?
Well, who's to define moderation? If I have a cocktail before noon, does that make me having a problem?
Well, I think if you have a dozen before noon, probably.
Well, then it's not a problem because I have not had a dozen.
How many have you had?
11.
All right. What about people, though, who it's a downward spiral for them? They quit drinking, and then they go, okay, I can handle one. And then they have one, and they go, well, see, I'm fine. I'll have another one. And then the whole cycle starts over again.
Yes, that is the problem a lot of people talk about with this particular program.
Right.
Yeah.
The key is don't do that.
Don't do what?
Don't spiral.
Don't spiral.
Mm-mm.
But alcohol kind of loosens you up, and you're not.
It sure does.
Right, but you don't make the best decisions.
That's true.
So how do you not have the third or fourth drink once you're drinking?
You just learn to stop doing that so much. Just have a few drinks.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy your drinking time.
Right.
And then don't drink that much more anymore after that.
Doctor, what's your problem with Alcoholics Anonymous, a program that's been around for decades and decades with a phenomenal success rate? Why don't you like them?
Ooh, Alcoholics Anonymous, we're the best. We know what works for everybody. We're the kings. La, 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 la. Let me tell you something. First of all, if it's so cool, why is it anonymous? What do they see? What secrets are they keeping?
What's the secret?
Don't tell anybody who we are. We have to operate in the cloak of darkness.
What's anonymous is your identity, meaning that you don't have to. It doesn't have to be public who you are. They protect that for you.
Yeah. Well, who's ashamed? They're ashamed because it's a bad thing. I'm not anonymous. I'm right here. Hey, look at me. I'm Kirk. How you doing? Cheers. Have a drink.
What?
Right?
What are you a doctor in?
I'm not afraid of nothing. Don't tell anybody who I am. And by the way, in Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell you you have to admit you are powerless over alcohol.
Right, right.
Well, then what's the point? If you're powerless over alcohol, have a drink, man. Because there's nothing you can do. You're powerless to stop yourself. So just drink up. Right?
Okay.
Who's with me?
No, you're not. You're not a real doctor.
These people are with me. Thank you.
That sounded like Omar. Is he there with you?
What?
That's weird.
Dude, is your name Omar? Yeah. Yeah, the guy's name is Omar.
It is Omar. That's weird. That's really strange.
Well, I don't know that we can recommend your advice to our listeners, particularly as we head into the very dangerous holiday driving season. I'm sorry, doctor.
Did I say drink and drive, asshole? Hey.
Well, no. No.
Did I say drink and drive?
No, but we're talking.
No, I'm just saying maybe drinking in moderation is dangerous for some people, especially with all the temptations of the holidays and how dangerous it is out on the roads. Just stay away from it altogether is what I'm suggesting.
Maybe quitting is dangerous for some people. You know why? Because it makes you boring. It makes you effing boring. And then everyone hates you.
You're not a real doctor, are you?
I am a goddamn real doctor.
What kind of doctor?
A podiatrist.
Podiatrist.
Okay, that tells us everything we need to know.
Well, you know you can pour beer on cornflakes?
Beer on cornflakes?
Didn't know that.
Yeah. You don't need milk. F milk, by the way. Okay. Just drink up. Everyone just drink up.
What? Is this a mess, doctor?
Everyone should have another cocktail.
Oh, that's doctor. Sad.
Sounds bad. Are you?
This is a mess.
Oh.
doctor.
I got to quit drinking.
That's what we're saying.
I need a nap. I got to lay down.
Oh.
This is a mess.
Okay. All right, doctor.
This is no way to live a life. Right.
Well, that's what we were saying 5 minutes ago, sir.
I'm in a bar at 11 o'clock in the morning.
This is what?
What is it? Huh?
Yes?
This is?
It's Carrie Kiff, I'm Pasadena, Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Good
what's
things?
Going on? The Chicago Tribune, you know that newspaper?
Sure.
They're
sure.
In the Windy City.
Right.
They had an online poll asking readers to vote for the worst TV shows of all time.
Worst TV
great,
shows of all
great
time.
Great list. I came up with 25 of them.
Okay.
I'll tell you the top 10 in a minute, but there's some things that just really deserve mentioning. Number 24, When Things Were Rotten, a sitcom about Robin Hood and his merry men.
When Things Were Rotten?
Yeah.
Don't know that one.
You never seen that? Oh, you got to see if you can catch it sometimes. Bad. I wonder if it's on DVD. Mel Brooks created it.
Oh, no.
But it was horrible. Horrible. Let's see. Mr. Belvedere, 20th on the list.
Wow, that one was popular for a long time, too.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. Mr. T and Tina, did you ever see that one?
No.
No.
Pat Morita was the wacky next-door neighbor to a young girl trying to make it in the business, in the big city.
Wow.
BJ and the Bear. Remember the trucker with the pal who was a monkey? He used to sit with him
in
the truck?
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin, you're missing out
on
some great stuff.
I love Bad.
Manimal, the guy would turn into different animals and fight crime.
Awesome!
Heard of Manimal. Manimal was cool.
Manimal. We'll be right back. That's how they used to
That's
go to
how
commercial.
They did it?
Yeah, it was great. The Ropers, spinoff from Three's Company, where Mr. and Mrs. Roper got their own show.
Sure.
That was number 13.
Was that Jeffrey Tambor's like big break?
Yeah, I think he was in that show.
They
absolutely.
Pulled that one out.
My Mother, the Car, always a favorite when they have these lists. About the guy whose mother gets recreated as a car and he drives her around.
Reincarnated, right.
Never saw that one, I say. Number 10 on the list. Homeboys in Outer Space.
Mm-mm.
That was on Fox.
It was an early Fox show. Yeah, one of their first shows. Yeah.
It was number 9. Ernest Angley Hour. You ever see Ernest Angley, the
evangelist.
Televangelist? Yeah. Yeah, he's spectacular. That was number 8. Number 7, Barney and Friends. Yeah, who can watch freaking Barney for more than 30 seconds without wanting to take their own life?
I love you. You love me.
No, I don't. Joni Loves Chachi. Number 6. The spin-off from Happy Days, of course, where Joni and Chachi got married. No one cared.
Yeah.
Number 5, Small Wonder.
Oh.
Small Wonder.
About the little girl robot. Yep. Vicky.
That was truly bad. That I think you can find on YouTube. It's hard, though, to know what's on YouTube and what's not anymore, unfortunately.
4 is Cop Rock. The musical, Stephen Botchko musical, where cops would break out into song.
I love that. That was so bad.
Mama's Family was number 3 on this list. That is pretty hard.
I don't know Mama's Family.
You know Mama's Family.
I know of it, I think, but I don't know.
Vicki Lawrence used to do a character in the old Carol Burnett show where she played this old lady, and they spun her off and gave her own show. And it was truly painful.
Not good?
Truly painful. Number 2, Cavemen. Wow, new show making the top 10.
Wow.
One of the worst shows of all time. And the number 1, according to the Chicago Tribune readers, the worst TV show of all time. The Jerry Springer Show.
How dare they?
How can they come at, how can they come at Jerry like
Are
that?
Are you kidding me? That's one of the top 10 of all time.
Is it really, though?
Yes.
But is it really?
Yes. Depends on whose list.
Yeah. Speaking of TV shows, God Hates Dr. Phil.
Well, and for good reason.
There was a tour bus driving from Camarillo to Paramount Studios to catch a taping of the Dr. Phil show. And as it came off the freeway, it crashed through the fence at a church and went through a bunch of trees.
Well, I think that's a...
God was trying to stop them from going to see Dr. Phil.
Yes.
When did this happen? This just happened?
Yesterday.
Just happened yesterday, yeah.
Wow, awesome.
You need a wake-up call. You're going to go to the penitentiary.
Dr. Phil blamed the passengers on the bus for not taking control of their own lives.
Oh, that's
you believe that?
That
doesn't seem right.
You have made bad choices.
He went to the scene and yelled at them.
That's right. Don't let people drive your bus. You be the driver of your own bus. And, Bean, here's the list for you. Teen Magazine has just released their list of the 50 hottest guys in Hollywood.
This reads like Bean's wish list, by the way, for creepy adolescent sex.
Uh-oh.
I certainly hope 1 through 10 are sweet Zach.
Number 10 is Brody Jenner. Number 9, Chase Crawford, Private Eye.
He's from Gossip Girl.
Yeah, Chase Crawford.
I know.
Number 8 is Cody Lindley.
What?
I don't know who Cody Lindley is, but the teen girls love him.
Okay.
I don't either.
Numbers 7, 6, and 5 are the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, sure.
Very popular.
Yeah.
Number 4, Pete Wentz from Fallout Boy. Number 4 on the list.
He's a homo.
You know, Pete wishes he was gay.
He does wish that, yeah.
And his wishes come true.
How about that? Yeah. Done.
Corbin Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Who's number 3?
Oh, yeah.
Who high school Corbin Musical? Blue?
Second. Corbin Blue was the black kid.
He's the black kid in High School Musical.
Corbin Blue. This is Chris Brown, number 2.
Oh, the singer, yeah.
Yeah.
He's great.
Number 1, the hairless wonder, Zac Efron. Zac Efron, number 1.
Well, it has to be. Yay! It has to be. I mean, the list would be bogus if Zac were not number 1. Let's be honest. Who's with me?
No one.
Mm-mm. Teenage girls are with you. The readers of Teen Magazine.
Which Bean, I guarantee you Bean gets that.
He cuts out the pictures and tapes them on his wall. It's like a 12-year-old girl's bedroom. He's got Hello Kitty bedspread. I'm telling you. I think sometimes he puts his hair in pigtails. That's why he's growing
it
long.
I would not
and
doubt
he skips
it.
Out to the barn to feed the pigs.
I would not doubt it.
In a pettifore.
What the hell is that?
I think I mean pinafore.
Oh,
because pinafore, I think, is a little cake.
Why does he wear a cake?
I have no idea.
So confused.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck, guitarist for REM, is 51 years old today. Janine Turner turns 45. She's an actress, of course, probably best known for Northern Exposure. Tom Hulce, who played Mozart in the movie Amadeus. And Stephen Wright, one of my favorite comedians, is 52 years old today.
Whenever I fill out an application, it says, in case of emergency, notify. I put doctor.
See?
It's a good idea.
I have an air conditioner in the window in my house. Last summer, I turned it around the other way. I turned it up full blast, and it got cold out.
See?
I was driving down the street past the gas station. I had two signs in the window. Help wanted, self-service. So I went in and hired myself.
He hired himself.
I didn't see it, Ralph, but I know you're a big Stephen Wright fan. Did you watch the movie he won an Oscar for a couple of years ago? He won a short film Oscar?
I never saw that short film, no.
Yeah, I bet it's great. He's so funny.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, it is the holiday season, guys, and that means for most people who work for companies that are big enough to throw holiday parties, that means you got to go to the party. That's the number one mistake, apparently, an employee can make is assuming that he doesn't have to go to the party. Apparently, according to all the experts, apparently it shows disrespect to your company. Shows that you don't value the relationship you have with your employer if you blow off their holiday party.
You mean we won't get that well-deserved promotion? Bummer.
That's a good point, Lisa. Like, how does your life get better by going to the party, right?
Exactly.
That's number one on the list of, I guess it's a new MSNBC poll that's out or a survey of experts or something like that. They say that's the worst, that's the number one mistake is not going. All right. Number two, dressing inappropriately. Which I gotta call BS on that.
Me too.
I say let loose, baby. That's what I say.
It's a party.
Mm-hmm.
It's a party, right? Number three on the list is attending on an empty stomach because, of course, the quicker you drink, the faster you get drunk.
Sure.
If you don't have food inside. Don't look at it as an opportunity to pitch ideas to upper management. Now, this is interesting because there are a lot of companies, and ours is one included, where we virtually never see the guys at the top. I mean, we're so far down on the food chain here at K-Rock that we barely even recognize the people that run this place.
Right.
And I guess it would be in bad form if we were at the party and then we would corner the boss's boss and say, hey, I got all these great ideas. You got to listen to me. You got to do this. Apparently, that's a no-no. Don't do that at a party.
Okay, don't do that. All right. I have to keep all my ideas in then? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
All right.
I know it's going to be very tough for you. And number five of the top 10 list is getting drunk. And that seems to me that kind of goes with going on an empty
seems
stomach.
Like that should be number one right there.
Absolutely.
I would think so, too. Yeah.
But on the other hand, it also seems like that's the point.
Who's with
me? Especially if it's an open bar.
That's what they're saying. Please get drunk.
I love this one. And by the way, we're going to take your calls of Christmas party faux pas. You've been to the party. Maybe you've been the guy who acted crazy. You've been the one who was inappropriate. Or maybe just one of your coworkers were and you saw it. You were there to enjoy it. I want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Number five, getting drunk, seems to me to lead directly into number six, hooking up. Apparently, coworkers who secretly harbor feelings for one another often think that it's okay to act out those feelings at a holiday event, but the experts warn you that it's an extension of the workplace, and that's not how you should behave.
See, that's what you get with a stuffy list like this. MSNBC. Hooking up. It's an extension of the workplace.
Yeah, that's just stupid. It's a party. You don't drink at the workplace. This is a party.
That's right.
Well, I would think it would be different, too. Number seven on the list, and I love this one, too. If you're lucky enough to be working for a company that does allow a spouse or a date, although usually they don't allow both, which I think is interesting,
yeah.
Don't be the one who brings the crazy date. Don't be the one who brings the wacko who everybody's still going to be talking about next year because he or she is so insane.
To quote Life of the Party. Mm-hmm. You don't want that because they reflect on you poorly, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. Number eight, don't be a Scrooge. Don't be the Debbie Downer who's walking around just all mopey. You don't want to be there. You make it clear to everybody else you don't want to be there. Number nine, be sure to remember your manners. Use your best table manners, please, and thank you. Don't chew with your mouth closed, that sort of thing. And then number 10 is dirty dancing or executing athletic displays. People like Psycho Mike, who can't bear it if somebody's not looking at him, would take advantage of a holiday party, for instance, and go out there and just cabbage patch all night long, if that's what it took to get people to stare at him.
So if if I can't dirty dance, I'm not going to a party.
That's no party.
Well, now, there's two different topics that we do every year at this time, and one is your companies don't know how to throw a party. Mm-hmm. That's not this one. This one we're looking for bad behavior. You or a friend of yours acted out poorly. At a Christmas party. We did actually pay a friend of ours one year to grab the boss's junk as he was addressing the entire station. You remember that?
That's right.
$50.
That's right.
The guy's like, can I have everybody's attention, please? It's been a good year. and the guy walked up and grabbed him right in the crotch.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Weatherby?
No. His boss.
Former
general manager, Chip Reeve, right. Guy went up and cupped his nuts. It was awesome.
While talking to the group. And I only had to pay him $50. Best money I ever spent.
That's awesome.
See, but that doesn't qualify as bad behavior, though. That's good behavior. We're looking for bad behavior. We're looking for, in retrospect, it was not lighting my fart at the Christmas party was not a good idea. That's the kind of story we're looking for.
Again, that falls into the good behavior. This is going to be a tough one. 1-800-520-1067 is the number, and we'll take your calls when we get back.
Your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about bad holiday behavior, either yours or a coworker. So many great calls. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Let's start with Lizzie in L.A. She is on line four, Kevin, and she says she broke every rule on the list last
Excellent.
Year.
Excellent.
So she's a good one to start with. Liz, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Broke every rule that we talked about, those top ten.
Yes, I drank too much, so way too much cleavage, and had a manwich.
Wow. Had a manwich. Fantastic. That's great. Now, was it one of these deals where the first day at work back after the holiday party, you kind of walked in real quiet with your head down and you were kind of afraid what people were going to say to you about it?
Put it like this. I wore a turtleneck the next day and didn't remember anything the night before.
Oh, good.
And yet got a promotion.
Oddly enough.
Strangely.
Now, when you say manwich, I apologize for not knowing exactly what that means. Two guys?
It was two guys that I spontaneously met at the party, and
wait a minute, they weren't even people you work with?
they were guests. They were just friends of a friend.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, but it was my boss that caught us.
Ouch.
Okay. All right, Liz, thank you for the call. Let's go to line five. We've got Lulu in North Hollywood. Now, one of the items on the list that we're reading from MSNBC says you should be careful with who you pick as a date. If you're lucky enough to be able to bring someone, make sure that they are not crazy or too much the life of the party. You don't want the number one thing people remember about the party is the person that you brought. And Lulu, what did you do?
I thought it would be a brilliant idea to take Ron Jeremy as my date to my company Christmas party.
Oh, my God.
How did you know the hedgehog well enough to invite him to a party?
I actually met him in a bar at the Rainbow that night and thought, wouldn't it be funny if you came with me?
Of course that would be funny. What happened?
Wait a minute.
Before you tell me what happened, what kind of business did you work in at the time where they were throwing the Christmas party?
I was running a retail store.
A retail store. Okay.
And so we went. He's kind of gropey.
No. Ron Jeremy, you're kidding.
Yeah, he was a little gropey, and then I had a few too many apple martinis. And we ended up in the bathroom behind the kitchen at the restaurant and got caught at that.
Got caught at that?
Yeah, and so not a lot of respect going on.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But you know what? I think you did the right thing.
Gotta go for comedy.
I mean, you have to. When you have a shot at the hedgehog, isn't that your responsibility as a girl?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to, but I actually checked myself into rehab the next day.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
That's a little too much to drink.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you, Lulu. That's over the line. Yeah.
Right. Thank you for the call. Happy holidays this year. Let's take Alina, line two. She's in Woodland Hills talking about that bad party behavior. Alina, you ruined it for everybody, it sounds like.
I sure did.
Excellent. How many people were at the party?
We were a pretty small company, but my bosses had a lot of friends over. So it was, I think, somewhere around about 40 people, maybe.
And what happened?
I got really, really drunk. And my other coworker, he was really drunk, too. And this is like a 45-year-old man, okay? And they had come up to me at first, just me individually, and they wanted to kick me out only. But he was really unruly, too, and he started arguing with them, and in that turn, like, they turned to me, and they're like, okay, that's it, it's over. So they just kicked the whole
kicked
party out.
Everybody
Ooh,
out.
No.
You closed down the party, Alina.
I sure did, and I was so embarrassed. I was sure I was going to lose my job.
And you didn't?
I actually got a bonus for it.
Yeah.
Because it was a crappy party?
I did. I got a fat bonus for it. My boss got a really big kick out of it.
Hey, how many people have that cool of a boss, by the way?
None.
No kidding.
Hey, you know how
no
you
kidding.
Got the whole party kicked out last night? That was funny.
By the way, Alina, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. It's not quite closing down the party because of your behavior, but you remember one year the K-Rock Christmas party was out on a boat, and Kevin decided it was time to leave. So he went up to the captain and said, hey, turn this boat around. Let's head back to shore.
No, well, what happened was I went up to the boat captain, and I said, how long are we going to stay out? And he said, until someone from K-Rock tells me to go back. And I said, I'm with K-Rock. And he said, and I said, go back. And he said, okay. And no one else knew it. None
so
of the management
Kevin
knew it.
The whole party down.
We didn't stop when we got back to the shore, but we just stopped the boat part.
Not until the panties dropped.
Yeah,
right.
Let's. We have a bunch of good calls. Let's hold on to them and do some more.
Okay.
Because
okay.
This is fun. People who ruin Christmas parties is good times. At 1-800-520-1067, we'll take your call now. All right, let's say good morning to Sean in Rancho Cucamonga. We are talking about people who ruined their the company business Christmas parties.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean did a good one. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. You got in a fight over what?
Well, no, it wasn't so much a fight. It was a huge argument. I'm kind of opinionated anyway, and I don't drink that often. So while I was at the party, I was making margaritas for a city councilman's wife, and her and I were getting friendly. Then I ended up getting in an argument with one of the office manager's spouses who's, like, devoutly religious, and mm-hmm. I was pretty much telling them what BS religion is and how everybody should be atheist.
No, that goes over well at a party when everyone's drinking.
Oh, yeah, so they kind of pushed me off, and, here, go in another room, which this is at the boss's mansion up in the mountains.
Right.
And so I go in another room and start getting really friendly with some coworker's wife, which I guess later on they end up splitting up anyway. Let's see, somewhere in the course of the evening, some old guy that worked around the yard of this company got so drunk he crapped himself.
He
was nice enough to drive him home, but they threw him like in the back of his truck, and it was like 25 degrees outside.
Oh,
and then I'm a nice guy. I always end up hanging around to help clean up, and I'm looking around. Like, I noticed someone was missing, so I go out in the backyard, which is a pretty big yard, and one of the managers is sitting out there like with his head hanging over in his hands, and he had thrown up on his feet and froze. Surely would have died. I mean, that was just the best party ever.
Good times.
Telling the city councilman how he was screwing up. So.
That party had everything. Dude.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Let's go to line 7. We've got Tom calling from out in the 909. Tom had, I mean, this sounds more like a Maury Povich episode than a Christmas party. Tom, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. That's exactly where I told him to go, but Maury Povich. What happened last year, exactly last year, a new girl of the company, I guess, wanted to impress everyone, so she decided to get a little too wasted. Then she proceeded to have a foursome in front of about 20 other coworkers, and about 3 months ago, she gave birth to a healthy girl, and the people involved had to get a fraternity test, because she didn't know whose it was.
Good times.
And she
Dude.
Ended up being one of the guys that was at the party and shared her, I guess you can say.
Wow. So, wait. So, an orgy broke out. Four people having sex in front of a group of 20 other people just standing around watching?
Yep. A new employee, I guess, wanted to impress us.
I would say she did.
Where was this party? At somebody's house?
No, it was actually at a casino slash hotel.
So oh, those places are made for that.
So there was a lot of booze and the hotel room to go with it, so it had the atmosphere.
Yeah, sure. No driving.
That may be the best party ever.
Well.
I mean, seriously, how often does an orgy break out in the middle of your Christmas party?
Almost never.
Almost never.
What the baby Jesus had in mind.
How do you know? Tony in West Covina, good morning.
Good morning, Cameron Bean. How you guys doing?
We are good.
Good. This happened about 5 years ago. I violated the drunken one.
You were drunk, sure.
Yeah, oh, definitely drunk. And the embarrassing dancing one.
Oh.
But I like to add that embarrassing dancing one. I was bumping and grinding with the boss's wife.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. That's exactly what they're trying to warn you to stay away from when they say watch the dirty dancing or inappropriate athletic ability on the dance floor. They don't want you to get in a situation like that.
Not only was I doing it, but my wife was doing it also with her.
Oh.
Nice.
Now we're talking. And then you took her home?
I whispered, "Yeah, what about a threesome?" And she thought, my husband's right there looking at us. And he gave me a glare. And he walked off the dance floor.
Aww.
And then I got that. I got that. That note Monday morning. Come see me in my office.
Ooh.
And he was naked and sitting on the desk.
No, he asked me for dancing lessons because he was a stripper.
Oh, he did not.
Come on.
Oh, stop it. Thank you.
He's just kidding. He's just kidding.
I certainly hope so.
It does seem like alcohol is the common denominator. And maybe that's why they don't often have an open bar at some of these parties. That's why maybe you have to pay for it. It's just to restrict you from drinking as much as you can because it's free.
Let's go to Cindy in Whittier. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi, good morning, Kevin and Dean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened to your Christmas party?
Well, I went to the corporate Christmas party with my ex-husband now,
mm-hmm.
and we both got really, really wasted, but I got to the point where I was actually starting to puke at the party, so they took me up to my room, and meanwhile, my husband is down there partying and flirting with all of the sales reps, and I ended up having to stay in the room, and I'm just puking the whole time.
Good times.
I had puke from...
Okay, I don't think we really need a detail about the puke. We all know
what
that's like. It was a horrible night. We can paint that picture in our minds.
It's
no, Kevin, I mean, you don't understand how much vomit there was.
All right. It's important, Kevin.
You're covered from head to toe. We got it.
Covered from head to toe, okay? So they actually end up having to bring my ex-husband back up to the room. He's fighting my boss. Because he wants to stay at the party, they end up having to call the cops. Meanwhile, I'm in the shower, and my boss is trying to shower me from head to toe.
Boss a woman? Boss a man?
Woman.
Oh.
And they're still fighting, and the cops come over, and they tell him, basically, if you don't stop, you're going to go to jail. So needless to say, see, he stayed in the room, and he ended up having to drink a whole bottle of tequila all by himself while I had a shower rubbed down from my boss.
Wow. And things worked out better for you. Who would have thought that from the beginning of this story?
No kidding. You turned it around.
So important.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Wow.
Good times.
Ralph Grammer, what you talking about?
Talk about Britney Spears. Great story out of the New York Post this morning. They apparently got a hold of some court documents that Britney filed last October as she was trying to prevent social workers from getting more evidence against her on her case. On these grounds, she said that she couldn't tell the social workers where she would be with her children because she tries to keep her children's travel plans as confidential as possible to avoid journalists. You gotta be S-ing me, right?
She calls these journalists, she calls the paparazzi and tells them where she's going. How do you think they get there before her every time?
But she tells the social workers, no, I can't tell you where we're gonna be because I have to keep this very confidential. So my children don't.
Why, Brittany? Why?
They don't get exposed to the paparazzi.
Wow, that's good.
What advice can we give Britney Spears?
That's right.
Close your legs, bitch!
That's right. That's what I think we're all saying here. Oh, Tara Reid. I weep for Tara Reid.
Oh, no. What now?
Remember I told you that she accepted a gig recently as the host of an event in Australia called the Hooker's Ball?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, her personal appearance fee apparently has taken a hit as well. Sydney newspaper says that she was asking $30,000 to show up to the event.
Is that normal for celebrities? That sounds like a lot.
That's average for a B-list celebrity, just for an appearance someplace. You know, some of them get, hell, $1 million to open a club in Vegas or something like that.
Wow.
She was asking for $30,000. The organizers finagled her down to $3,500.
Oh, no.
$3,500 to fly to Australia to host the Hooker's Ball.
Wow.
And she did it.
And she did it.
That's sad.
Yeah.
She was in the American Pie movies a number of years ago. Is that all she's trading now? That's her celebrity? That's her chip?
I think Van Wilder, too.
Yeah, she was in that.
She was on Scrubs. She was good on that,
actually.
She
works a bunch.
Okay.
Just nothing as high profile as American Pie in a while.
Right.
But now the Hooker's Ball is going to put it right back on top.
Since it was a Hooker's Ball, did she also have to put out for that $3,500?
I think she did, yeah.
Okay.
They left it on the nightstand. That's how they paid her.
To earn it.
She was pretty hot in that first American Pie movie.
But, yes.
She sure has gone downhill since then.
Speaking of hot broads, Adrienne Curry.
Yeah.
Of America's Next Top Model and My Fair Brady and The Surreal Life. She'll be in Playboy tomorrow. You get to see the new photos. She's proud of her new boob job.
Yay!
Apparently wants to show the world the results.
Boobs.
You can check it out tomorrow. So
it's also going to be on our show on Monday.
Give me the heads up. What?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You fixed it.
Finally, you caved into reason.
Then. You were right.
Thank you.
So she's going to be in our studios on Monday.
Good.
I saw a clip of her on TMZ.com yesterday. She was showing off the new twins, and she was out with her husband, who's what, one of the Bradys? And
yes,
her plastic surgeon. And her plastic surgeon was there with her out to dinner. That was so weird. He's like,
keep an eye on
those. I did those. Those are mine.
It's good to make friends with your plastic surgeon.
I guess so.
You want them on your side. Speaking of hot chicks, Hayden Panettiere tells Teen Magazine that she wants to be one of Hollywood's good girls. She says people constantly compare her to Lindsay Lohan and the rest, but she wants to prove them all wrong because she thinks young girls seriously need a good role model in the entertainment field.
Right, in public. And then when you get in private, you know.
I'm getting nasty.
Dirty nasty.
Apparently, she says she follows her mother's advice, which is the following. You are the books that you read and the people you surround yourself with. Oh, Kevin's in trouble.
Let's see what our own psycho... Our own psycho Mike had to say to Hayden.
Sexier Latin heartthrob, me or Wilmer Valderrama? Be honest and objective.
I think you're both very sexy. So.
Yes, you got that right, sister.
So he gets a chance to talk to the cheerleader from Heroes, and the question has to be about how much she likes him.
What about me? What do you like about me?
It's giddy up.
It's stunning. It really is.
You're right.
It's tragic.
It is.
Stunning and tragic.
We might have to kill Mike over the holidays.
And stunning.
Sorry.
He's got plenty of time on the 15th to be murdered, because I know where he's not going to be.
That's true.
Yeah.
You took him off the list, didn't you?
I did. I uninvited him. Now he's got all the time in the world to spend time with his uncle's birthday and do his 19 shifts on the radio and to pump some iron and to boil up some yams, whatever else he's got going that night. He's set. He's got a lot of free time.
I bake him.
Got a lot of free time. That's all.
People who were not with us earlier this morning, Ralph was complaining that Mike had been peeping out his Evite invitation but was being awfully coy with whether he would be able to attend or not.
Just waiting.
And we suspect it was because he was waiting for a better offer. Right. He was going to see if a better party came along, he'd blow off the Garmins. Otherwise, he'll settle for Ralph's party. So Ralph went into Evite and rescinded the invitation.
That's right.
Don't respond. So now he doesn't have a choice. Now he can't come.
That's right.
What if I'm invited again by someone who forwards it to me? And
good point.
Then I have RSVP. Yes, I'm back on.
That happens with an Evite. You can forward it to someone and invite them to a party that they weren't invited to?
Apparently you can, yeah. I've never used that function or had it been used to me. But
it's a horrible idea.
Well, now that Kevin knows. Idea.
I know.
Who knows going to show up at your party?
This is greatest Christmas party ever I've been invited to.
Let me come in.
I'm so happy that Kevin invited me.
Big Ted.
She called us all fat. She called us fat.
It's going to be my party.
Kevin's going to invite the 10 worst people ever to your party and then not come.
Lisa May, read this joke.
That's why.
Oh, God.
That's why I got security. That's why we've got the velvet rope
set up.
That's
going to be sweet.
We've got a sniper on the roof.
You have security at your house party? You really do?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
That's going to be sweet. He's going to need it now that
I can heat, too.
Now that I know you can forward those.
I'm giving him 10 bullets, and they're all for Kevin. If anybody shows up at my house uninvited.
Is there any star power at your party? Maybe that would impress Mike enough to want to go. Do you have any celebrities coming that he'd be interested in?
Of course there are, but I can't really, out them on the air. I'm not going to...
Ralph, can I kiss your wife?
I'm not going to... you know, talk about what high-powered celebrities will be showing up.
Can I ask one?
Can I get a whoop-whoop?
Can I ask one celebrity and you tell me yay or nay?
I don't want to compromise their private time, you know? These celebrities don't want to be... LeVar Burton will be there. Actually,
just give me one.
Give you one?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one. Someone who RSVP'd immediately upon reading the Evite, but doesn't know whether he'll actually be able to get there or not, which I think is fine as long as he lets me know that. Joel McHale from The Soup.
Oh, cool.
Oh, good.
Very nice.
He's funny.
I only tell you this because he wrote, my wife and I haven't decided if we're going to be there or not because we don't know if we like you.
Good. See,
that was his reasoning.
At least it's right up front.
That's completely rational, and I can see that's something they need to consider before they actually come to the event.
I like that.
Better than ignoring you like Mike did.
That's what I'm saying.
And Rodney will be there, by the way.
3 weeks out. Nobody knows what their plans are.
I'm inviting Rodney.
Oh, Rodney, you kidding me? I will set him up on a throne. He will be king of the party if he shows up. He'll be doing beer bongs and
you know Rodney.
Keg stands. Watch his frail arms just snap off at the shoulder as he does a keg stand. It'll be awesome.
He doesn't have little velociraptor arms.
It just turns to dust as he hits the ground. Just a big cloud with a wig. Just black clothes.
With a bob haircut.
Dark hair and just dust. Opening up a tomb.
Dust for the bob.
Finding King Tut's remains. And shaking the sarcophagus before you pulled out the mummy.
Yes.
It's not a good idea. That's
I'm because I'm awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why you're going to be there.
Awesome. Today's celebrity birthday is Jeanine Turner. You know her from Northern Exposure, 45 years old today. Buda Ekberg, keyboardist for Ace of Base. Celebrates his birthday. What? Come on, Ace of Base.
That's not above the line. There's got to be a line somewhere.
I saw the sign.
Yeah, singer.
And it opened up my eyes.
Singer's questionable. Bass player? Come on.
Keyboardist.
Whatever.
Dude.
Keytarist.
Ace of Base was nothing without the keytar. That's right. Without the keyboard, Ace of Base does not exist. That line with, hey, what's going on over there? What's that conversation
nothing.
You guys
go
are
ahead.
Having?
We're just, we're...
I'm trying to extol you the virtues of the Ace of Base keyboardist, and you're not having it.
Because you could talk about that for an hour. He's still the keyboardist for the
Dude,
Ace of Base.
But listen to Buddha. Buddha rocked. I got to bring in some Ace of Base.
You know, I
got to get Omar and find me a little Ace of Base.
I don't have any need for Ace of Base.
You got to hear it. You got to hear Buddha rocking the keytar.
This is it.
I believe the sign, Ace of Base, would that be acceptable?
That is, yeah, sure.
Hear that?
Is that the keytar? That's the guy
right
we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on, this song doesn't exist without that line. Oh, yeah. Come on, listen to that. That's just one hand. He's just rocking that with one hand,
that's
by
like
the
a
way.
Second grader playing.
Dude, listen to that.
Sweet.
Sweet notes.
Listen.
But what year was this, Ralph? This was 1910.
Oh, Ace of Base.
I'm gonna say 95.
Yeah, I think.
I'm gonna say 92.
I think I think about 91, 92. I don't think he makes the birthday.
That's
list,
what I'm saying.
Ace of Base.
I'm sorry.
If it was Ace of Cakes, you'd be interested.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Stephen Wright, the comedian, is 52 years old today.
My friend George walked his dog all at once. Walking from Boston to Fort Lauderdale and back. And he said, no, you're done.
Done.
I was 5 years old watching TV. Only you can prevent forest fires. Oh, no. Every night out the window with a bucket of water.
It's a lot of pressure to put on a five-year-old.
It is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have pit tickets to give away right now, but if I'm not mistaken, Kevin, this game is not easy. Am I right about that? It's not an easy game to win.
What would you say it is, though?
I'm saying isn't it a difficult game to play?
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man?
Smooth! You guys are professional broadcasters!
Yes, we are.
I thought I was giving them the easy setup, but apparently not. Apparently I
didn't like it. It felt a little weak to me, that's all.
Okay.
Felt a little weak.
As this does to me now!
Mr. Announcer Man, what is the hardest game in the world and what makes it so difficult?
Kevin Adbeed! It's easy to play. We will play for you a name of one of the artists that's going to play at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas Nights 1 and 2. All you need to do is identify that artist. Oops, I almost forgot.
they'll be backwards.
So if you get it right, you go into a drawing. The person who wins the drawing gets pit tickets for both nights.
What?
Dude, that's pretty sweet.
I know.
That's pretty sweet. By the way, management has asked us to ask you, Mr. Announceman, if you and your wife cannot attend because of the embarrassing position you put us in last year.
That's all right. I've already returned my e-vite for Ralph's party.
Okay,
but that's the next week, Mr. Announceman. All right, let's say good morning to
Lee.
Thank you.
From West Covina.
Morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, Lee.
Yeah.
You ready for the hardest game in the world?
Let's do this.
Okay. All right, there you go.
Girl,
you get each person gets it twice. Here's your second time.
Girl,
oh, just
which band is that?
Take a guess if you don't know, because it is one of the bands playing this weekend, so it's a pretty limited pool to draw from.
I say Linkin Park.
Linkin Park.
Wow.
Yay, everybody!
Did you pull that out of your ass at the end?
Oh, my
God. Hold on. You're in the drawing, dude. Don't go away.
It's the hardest game in the world!
Apparently not.
Not. Next up is George. He's calling from Whittier. He works for UPS.
UPS.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. George, good morning.
Morning.
You ready for your bend backwards?
Yes.
There you go.
Snish.
One more time.
Yes. Snish.
I know it's the hardest game in the world, but that one is pretty easy, George.
Oh, come on.
Snish.
Yeah, schnips. He said it backwards. He was trying to think, work it through, I think.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You got to give us an answer, though.
Okay.
All right.
The shins.
The shins. Aww. Wouldn't have killed you to take a guess at it, George, anyway. Sorry. But thank you for playing anyway. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Jennifer calling from Carson.
Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Both nights pit tickets if you win this game. Are you ready for your hardest... I can't go anywhere from there, can I? Are you ready for your clue?
Yes, I am.
Here you go.
Slam, sit down.
One more time.
Slam, sit down.
I heard Saddam. What'd you hear, Jennifer?
See, it's backwards, and it's one of the bands that's playing.
Yeah, it's so really only one of 14. It should be kind of easy.
Flip that around, and what do you get? Turn.
They, Rise Again?
Modest Mouse.
Oh my God.
Okay. Come on. So far, it's looking pretty good for Lee, the first contestant we had.
That was Slam Saddam, by the way. I don't know what's going on with that, but they have some kind of a message.
I agree. Up. Let's Slam Saddam. We're going to catch him if it's the last thing we do.
Already caught him.
Oh.
Dead.
Melissa from Los Angeles.
Hey, Melissa.
Good morning.
Are you ready for the hardest game in the world?
Yeah. Bring it on.
All right. Here you go.
Yes.
One more time.
Nightmares.
All right, artist that's playing K-Rock's Almost as Good as Christmas.
Okay.
Seriously,
this is where you tell us what that artist is.
No, I know, Oh my God, is it Avenged Sevenfold?
Serge Tankian.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, though.
This game's not easy.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think? Got time for a couple more?
Coming up next. Miguel, it's your chance to play the hardest game in the world!
Hey, Miguel.
Hello, good morning, everyone.
Here you go.
Sjelf.
Wow.
One more time.
Sjelf.
Can you repeat that one more
time? Oh, come on!
So easy, don't be dumb.
Easiest one.
Two times per person, because we got a time limit here. What's your guess, Miguel?
God, I want to say the Muse.
Well, at least he picked a short one, yeah. But it's
Feist.
Come on!
Feist, yeah. All right, Mr. Announcer Man, so far just one person in the drawing. We've got time for one more contestant. Who do you like?
Tila!
Tila.
Tila.
Hello.
Are you ready?
This isn't Tila Tequila, is it?
Not as far as I know.
Oh, thank God.
You would know.
I think I would.
All right, here you go.
Spirit Next.
One more time.
Okay.
Sweet.
That's playing this weekend at Acoustic Christmas?
Potty mouth.
Sorry.
Gotta pick one of the bands that's playing at some point.
Right, I understand.
You don't, Lee wins.
You don't cuss.
Which one, Tila? Who do you like?
Oh my God.
Gotta pick one of the bands!
Angels and Airwaves.
What? What?
Angels and Airwaves.
What?
Come on.
Wow.
If you knew it, why did it take you an hour to say it?
Because I was nervous.
What the?
Last second guess, and she pulls it out.
All right. All right. Now there's a drawing between Lee.
Ooh, it's 50-50 between Lee and Tila. Will it be Lee or will it be Tila?
The winner is...
Hey, wait,
will
wait.
It be Lee or Tila? We won't know until Lisa tells us.
Before we do the drawing, I'd like to suggest something.
What?
I was going to suggest pit tickets for each of them for each night, because we have two pair.
Oh.
What?
Can we do that now?
Do you mean everyone's a winner, baby?
I'm being told no. I thought we had... No,
Jesus
we have,
Christ.
I'm saying we have pit tickets for both nights, so I was thinking one night, the other night.
All right, let's do
the drawing.
Why can't we do that, then?
Apparently, I'm being told no. Can't do that.
We can't split them up?
I don't know why.
Huh.
Hang on. Hey, how come?
We're on the radio. You guys know that,
right? They can each pick one night, right?
Yeah.
All right. They can do that for some reason.
Well, that's not what they called the win, but
I don't know. Lee?
Yeah.
You went first, so you get to pick the night.
I'll go with the first night.
First night.
Okay.
Right. You win. Hold on. Tila?
Yeah?
You got night number two.
Okay.
Nicely done.
Thank
How do you guys think that went? Good?
Well, it's rocky at the end.
Smooth!
Like those guys are ever going to do anything in the world of music, you know?
Speaking of Foo Fighters, funny you should say that, because the Grammy nominations came out within the last 60 minutes, Kevin, and our pals Dave and Taylor from Foo Fighters were down there as the announcements were being read, and their names were called a bunch of times. So we thought we'd talk to them on the phone, because I think Dave actually has the phone right now. Taylor's right next to him. Good morning, Mr. Grohl.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Dave,
It's a fantastic honor, and of course, it's a great accomplishment. But haven't you been nominated for and won a bunch of Grammys in the past already?
We have, and it's a funny thing, the Grammys, because we have four of them.
Right.
But being nominated is one thing, and then winning Grammys is another. Like our last record, we were nominated five times. You know what we got? Crap!
Still, you got nothing. Wow. Shut out.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is though, knowing how network television feels about rock music, is they're likely to not even allow you to perform on the show.
Well, you never know. You never, never know what's going to happen. But rock and roll will never die, my friends.
All right. So you're nominated for Best Rock Album: Echo, Silence, Patience, Grace.
Yes.
Best Rock Song: The Pretender.
Yes.
Record of the Year, The Pretender.
Yes.
And Album of the Year, Echo, Silence, Patient Grace.
Yes. I can't believe it. It's weird. I just called my mom and she said, I love you so much. I'm glad you dropped out of high school.
Dave, how do you feel about competition in the music business? Do you get kind of a weird hinky feeling about being up against a guy like Kanye West who does something completely different for an award like Album of the Year?
No, not really. I mean, you know, this kind of stuff is an honor to be acknowledged for what you do, you know, and considering that the way we do it is so simple. We have our own studio and we go in and make records by ourselves. And then when we're finished, we bring it to the people at the record company and they go, yeah, it sounds like Foo Fighters record. And then you put it out and we hit the road. And it's a simple thing. And when you're standing on stage with like Jimmy Jam and Herbie Hancock, you realize that, wow, you know, this is the real deal. This isn't like, you know, this isn't like the Smart Water Awards. This is the real deal, you know?
By the way, you've never been nominated for a Smart Water Award, have you?
We haven't. Those are tough to get, you realize. That's the peak.
That's stiff competition.
We were doing the radio show, Dave, so we didn't see this, but apparently there was something on TV where you were trying to throttle Vince Gill. Did you try to kill Mr. Gill? What happened?
No, you know what? We were blowing down. We had a little rodeo before the camera started rolling, and I thought I'd ham it up when I found out he was in our category. That guy's like five times as big as me, too. Plus, he's a country dude, and, you know. Those kind of guys like break bottles over your head in a fight. So
he'll put us
about to go face to face with him. He's a good guy.
He'll put his country boot right up your ass, from what I hear.
All right, yeah, this is This is Dave Grohl on the line. We're talking about he and his band Foo Fighters just got nominated for a boatload of Grammys a few minutes ago. Let me ask for your pick, Dave. You be the impartial judge. I'm going to give you the songs in the category for Record of the Year, and you tell me which one you personally like the best, okay?
I already know. It's good. Okay, you hit me.
We got Foo Fighters, The Pretender. You've heard that one.
Obvious
we got
winner, but go ahead.
Rihanna's Umbrella.
That's a we got, pretty catchy song.
Okay. Justin Timberlake doing what goes around comes around.
The ladies love Justin. You can't lose.
All right. Amy Winehouse doing her Rehab song.
You gotta love Amy Winehouse because I do very much.
Okay. And Beyonce doing Irreplaceable. Those are your five nominees for Record of the Year. Which one do you like?
I would have to go with Miss Amy Winehouse.
Really? Oh, no kidding.
Oh,
how about
yeah,
that?
Dude. She's living it. She's living the dream, and that's what it's all about.
Will she still be alive in February when the awards are held?
Stop. Fingers crossed. This is killing me.
Well, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and Rock Album of the Year is a testament to how much people love Foo Fighters, man. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Really, it's crazy. I got up really early this morning and had way too much coffee, and now I'm surrounded by cameras and
by nuttiness.
People, and I'm kind
sure.
of freaking out.
Hey, is Taylor still next to you?
Yeah. Hold on. You want to say
yeah,
hi?
Sure. Thanks, Dave.
There you go. See you guys.
Bye.
Yeah.
Boy, that Dave Grohl's a bag of hot air, isn't he?
Huh?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you, Taylor?
Dude, are we, like, on the radio right this second?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. we just wanted to echo, no pun intended, what we said to Dave, which is congratulations, man. I mean, like, the hard work hasn't already paid off with the concert tickets and the album sold, but this kind of acknowledgement's got to feel pretty good.
Is that gnarly? I like winning.
Yeah.
We haven't won yet.
You like winning?
Win one. At least one.
So you're saying winning is good?
Winning is good.
Okay.
I don't believe in that. It's not a contest. This is an art. This is art. And, you know, and this is not about winning.
So you want to kick ass?
Yeah, I love winning.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Hey, Taylor.
If we don't win one, don't talk to me the next day.
Dude. I expect you to get in a fight that night if you don't, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be pissed.
All right.
You guys are going to be on Loveline tonight. Is that still the plan?
Correctamundo, big dog.
Now, you're not going to call and go, Grammy nominated, can't show up.
No, we got to go.
Okay.
You'll be
we
there. Okay.
It.
Love line
we
tonight.
We got to do it. We got to keep, you know, you got to keep faith in the public, man. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean at all by that, but I'm glad you're going to be on Love Line tonight.
Well, listen, we couldn't be happier for you. We just wanted to get on the phone and say hi and congratulations, and we'll see you soon, dude.
Hey, thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you, Taylor.
Rock on.
Bye now. Yeah, four nominations. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And that CD, again, not just because we play it, but there are a lot of songs that we don't play that are fantastic on that CD. Four.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
That's all. Keep it funky now.
1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. You call right now, get on the air, get a great prize, too. 50 songs for you on iTunes. How about that?
All right. Let's start with Carlos in Los Angeles. Good morning, Carlos. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What It Do?
What It Do. Hey, what the hell is up with Mike? He can't answer a simple email. He spends all that time in the gym, and he can't push a single mouse click. Did he break his finger?
Yeah,
something?
Not strong enough to hit a mouse. That's the problem.
That's right.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier this morning, for those that weren't listening, that Ralph sent out an e-bite, and some people, myself included, didn't exactly respond right away.
And now you're on Ralph's hit list.
But Mike was full of excuses. He's just, I'm the best person you could ever have at your party.
He
How
is
dare
the best
you?
Party guest you can invite, so I should be thankful.
You should
that
be
he
just happy that he would consider
That's
you.
Right.
We did determine he neither eats nor drinks, so.
Yeah, he's a hell of a party. He's a real addition.
Yeah.
At least you don't have to worry about food or drink.
That's true. It doesn't really affect the count one way or the other, does it?
No. Yeah.
So then I was in the office a little bit later, and Ralph's like, should I take him off the list? I was like, absolutely, take him off that list. And so he did.
So he's not invited now. He couldn't come to the party if he wanted to, right,
he's
Ralph?
He's been disinvited, uninvited, anti-invited.
It's brutal.
I like it. Let's go to Nicole in Upland. Good morning, Nicole.
Hello, what a do.
Hello.
Hello, Nicole.
Hi. Did you guys hear that Scarlett Johansson is suing Us magazine because they said she had gotten a nose job?
I totally did.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I like also did.
Hey, we're talking about Scarlett Johansson. Let's keep the focus where it needs to be here. So they said she got a nose job. She didn't. So she's suing them?
Yeah.
Touchy.
They showed photos of her as a very young girl.
And then they compare that with
like
photos
one?
Of her now. No, like 12 or 13 or something. And she, but I think she just grew into her nose is what happened.
Mm-hmm. And to her boobs, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah,
and let me ask you, Nicole, is her complaint that somehow her fans will think less of her if they believe she's had some sort of plastic surgery? Is that her beef?
I don't know, really. I was just like, what the heck? Because like, I just caught a glimpse of it on whatever I was watching, and I was just like, that's kind of stupid. Because, I mean, everybody, like, a lot of celebrities get their boobs done and all that stuff, and they don't, you know.
Right, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I think suing is a little out of, you know, overboard, don't you
it
think?
It is, yeah. Here's my question. Yeah. Who's looking at her nose?
Come on. That's a great point.
Seriously.
Hey, Nicole, how old are you, by the way?
26.
All right, let's all talk about how hot Nicole is, then.
She
I wanted to make
hot.
Sure
she sounds hot.
She sounds so
sure.
unbelievably
but,
hot.
Hold on.
You know the radio rule, though.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Upland.
Oh, yeah.
Upland. Okay, never mind, Nicole. Never mind. Thank you for that.
Just dismissed her.
I had a lot more to say to her, but not when I found that out. Let's talk to Tom. Excuse me. Where are we going? We're going to Tom. Let's go to Tom on line 2. He's in La Puente. I have no idea where he's coming from, but we got to give him his moment in the sun. Hey, Tom. What did you do, nephew?
What to do, everybody? How you doing?
Good. Okay. What's going on?
Kevin, I got a question for you.
Okay.
When did you stop caring about working there at the radio station?
When did I stop caring about what?
Working there at the radio station. It seems like every show, at least once a day, you're like 5 seconds away from coming back from the commercials of the songs.
Yeah, yeah. He checks out quite often here on the Kevin Bean Show.
I think it started in 94, 95,
late 93, I think.
I do not have a good ability to pay attention. I have a very short attention span.
Kevin, does anyone even know where you're at for those 5 seconds?
Most of the time, no. This is a fun call and all, but we got to move on. Thank you.
Peter, line 1, Rancho Cucamonga. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Peter, what it do, nephew?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello.
And girls. I thought my Psycho Mike would want to know this because, you know, I know he's a health freak. There's a new vitamin at Juice It Up, and it's horse semen.
No way. No.
It's only the good stuff. It's not the actual semen.
Only the good stuff. What part of it is the good stuff?
The best horse semen. The best money can buy.
It's really good. It's extremely
didn't look good when I saw it in Jackass 2. I'll tell you that right now. Didn't look good at all.
You know, they got it. Barbaro. That's how good it is. The top-notch stuff, really. Cream of the crop.
No Never heard of it. What's Barbaro?
That has got to do Barbaro.
All right. I'd like to move on if you don't mind.
Roxy is in Anaheim on line 3. Roxy seems like one of Bean's people.
Hey, Roxy.
Yeah, how did you, nephew?
How did it do?
Okay, I'm heartbroken, Bean, because I was summoned for jury duty, and I was there waiting patiently for about 6 hours, reading a book.
Yeah.
I was gittery, super excited, and then they tell me I'm disqualified.
Why?
What did you do?
I don't know. They gave me a paper that said like you had to be like you didn't have to commit a felony for like the past I don't know year, blah blah blah.
Oh, and you have a felony?
Like, no, I don't. But they had like check marks, like a resident or a U.S. citizen or something like that.
And you're not a citizen?
No, I am.
Roxy,
then what did he do?
Why were you disqualified?
Well, okay, fine. I wasn't a citizen, but I'm a resident. I wasn't a citizen, so they said...
Well, you have to be a citizen. That's just the rule. They're not picking on you. I mean, that's the rule.
But they broke my heart. I wanted to be... I thought I was going to be in the next O.J. Simpson trial.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But you should have known when you went down there. You could have saved yourself 6 hours by saying, hey, there's a mistake here. I got this form. I'm not a citizen. I can't serve on a jury.
But I wanted to be one. Is it so hard for me to be in a jury? Like, share
I don't want foreigners deciding cases in this country.
Yeah, illegales.
The form that you get in the mail to begin with asks you whether or not you're a citizen. Did you lie on it?
No, I didn't. I even went online. And then when I went there, they didn't tell me anything like if you weren't that.
Listen, sweetheart, they made the right decision. Yeah. You shouldn't be on a jury. You shouldn't even be on this phone call.
I'm standing Thank up for Roxy. I think she would have made a great jury.
Her. I live here in the United States. That should be good enough, right? Whatever with the whole citizenship, I'm living here.
Are you a citizen?
Here.
No, but.
But resident, I'm residing. I live here. I have a house.
This month?
Is my man Omar in the studio?
No.
Okay. Would you like him to be?
Well, I've been putting up notes. I've been instant messaging Alex. I've been doing everything I could to try to get Omar in here for the end of the show.
This show is smooth, I'll tell you.
Hey, Omar, come in here.
No one listens to me, apparently.
We were doing the hardest game in the world, and that it was a debacle. And I turned to Omar after it was all over and said, people listen to this show. they make a point of tuning to this specific station and listening to this program after the repeated abuse they get from our horrible lack of talent.
And not only that, but it's clearly getting worse on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. I don't get it either.
I almost feel like if we charged people, we'd have to refund part of their money.
Absolutely.
But it's free, so what can we do? There's nothing else we can do. It's
even
already free.
Even free, we should owe them something.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Omar, I'm glad you're here. Before we close the show, you just sent me something in the email, and I want to know if it's something that I hit the button and play it on the air.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, because this is a. Do you have the K-Rock World premiere? Can you bring that up for me, Mike? Because
we got a new song that we didn't know about.
Oh,
apparently, there is a new song. I want to thank real quick while we load that up. I want to thank Dave and Taylor from Foo Fighters for calling in. Congratulations on all of their Grammy nominations, and look for them on Loveline tonight. All right, here we go.
Speaking of things in the email, by the way, real quick, I want to thank the listener who sent me the photo they took of Nick outside the Miss Double December competition, begging to be let in the rain. Just a photo of him soaked, just screaming at a guy, the security guy in the red shirt, begging to be let in.
That's sad.
It's now my screensaver, so I appreciate you sending me that.
King wants to put on KRock.com.
Oh, that's right. All right, I'll send it up. Sure.
Send it over to him. Yeah. All right, so here you go, people.
KRock. You rock. World premiere.
Come on.
I can't wait.
Ready?
Reach. I can't wait.
Hanukkah! Hanukkah! Ooh, Hanukkah!
Come on.
Yes. Hebrew things are gonna happen! Oy vey! Oy vey! Hanukkah juice outside my window! Hanukkah juice behind the trees!
Come on.
I wish the rabbi could see that these Jews live really cheaply, and it's Hanukkah juice outside my window pane! Shalom. Festival of lights. Dreidel, 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 dreidel. Mitzvah. Shalom. Harvey Levin. Matzah. Sandy Koufax. Gefilte fish. Hanukkah juice outside my window. Hanukkah juice behind the trees. Shalom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Come on.
That may be the greatest thing ever.
Well done, Omar.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
I love that.
Wow, are you
How
bad.
Many? How many days left do we have of Hanukkah? How many days left?
I think it just started.
The
first day.
Yesterday.
Right? Yesterday? So we still have seven more days
today.
To play that.
That's right. It's going to be good.
We will. Monday, Tuesday. Oh,
we're going to put that on regular rotation.
Now we owe him double what we were going to have to pay him for today's show.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, keep an eye on the clock here, Monkey, as you plan the end of the show here.
I know. Jeff Ross coming up in the studio, comedian. He will be here tomorrow morning. We got to get to the bottom of who stole all the alcohol here at K-Rock. We know who it is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Let's get to the bottom of that. And we are going to give away tickets. Don't forget that the tickets go on sale tonight for K-Rock's Almost Christmas 2007. 5 o'clock for night one, 6 o'clock for night two. You got to be a K-Rock Street Team member. Tomorrow morning we have four pair of tickets for each night in the pit.
Dude.
So that's tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Grammy-nominated Foo Fighters are coming up. Also, sublime Christmas music from The Killers, Rise Against 311 and more with Cat Corbett straight ahead. It's 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next.